Marty Morningweg.
This is Marty.
Marty, it's Drew and Mike calling WRIF Radio in Detroit. Ouch. How you doing?
Well, getting ready for a game.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, how much do you not miss Detroit?
Oh, no, I miss Detroit. Hey, to tell you the truth, right down there in Plymouth, we had some great friends, and my wife and kids enjoyed it very much.
Did you want to draft Joey? I mean, there's been so much debate over who wanted him, who didn't want him.
Well, it wasn't my call. I like Joey very much. I didn't have him quite that high. At that point, the roster had been torn down. You know, we were 6-0 passing that first year with 3 different quarterbacks. And, you know, philosophically, I wanted to kind of build a defense. And we just were decimated at the corner spot. So
was Jammer the guy you wanted?
There was 1 of 3 situations. You know, it was not my call. The call was made for the future of the franchise.
Drew and Mike in the Morning. Broadcast program. On the Riff.
It's very bizarre, and it's going to lead to some things that may or may not kind of hold true for what you believe Social Security should be. So we'll kick it into that and the State of the Union address, which hopefully most of you saw. If Bush was talking about the Iraq War, gay marriage, or Social Security, his State of the Union address kind of reaffirmed that he really isn't in a reality-based community whatsoever, and basically exploiting the tradition of inviting symbolically significant guests to sit next to the First Lady. If you remember, Bush introduced the mother of a U.S. Marine killed in Fallujah, and an Iraqi human rights activist whose father had been assassinated by Saddam Hussein and who had voted in that particular election on that Sunday a couple of weeks back. And then they hugged and Bush started to cry and Congress was crying. And in a nutshell, it was Bush's way of kind of his story of sacrifice and liberty and freedom. So the approval ratings for Bush at the time were pretty low. But the aftermath of the Iraqi election, he kind of approached that speech as sort of being a conquering hero. And talked about several different issues, including things on the domestic side, and praised, of course, his tax cuts and his record on job creation. And the United States had added about 2.3 million new jobs in the past year, but he didn't disclose that the economy needs to create about 2 million jobs a year to keep up with the population growth. And he claimed his forthcoming budget would lead to cutting in the deficit by half in 2009, even though budget analysts have said that he's relying upon phony numbers and false assumptions. He also said he'd increase the size of Pell Grants for college students. He promised to do that last year and so far has not done that at all. And then, of course, that leads us to the Social Security issue. And I guess some of the questions that we have to ask ourselves, first of all, how is Bush going to be able to come up with the $2 trillion to cover the shift to private accounts, and how much benefits would be cut for workers under age 55. I was reading a relatively decent article in Time Magazine and Newsweek, and of course, President Bush quoted as saying, if you've got children in their 20s, as some of us do, the idea of Social Security collapsing before they retire does not seem like a small matter. We must ensure that lower-income Americans get the help they need to have dignity and peace of mind in their retirement. And Bush's pretending of Social Security collapsing is just not true. And, you know, today's workers basically currently support the Social Security system with the benefits and the money. And the ratio of workers and recipients that have fallen from 16 to 1 are currently at 3 to 1 and are kind of falling into the future 2 to 1. So keeping that current system afloat is going to require some combinations of cutbacks and future benefits, more money from workers or taxpayers or both. And since Bush does not want to increase taxes, all that's left are benefit cutbacks, unfortunately. And the one tax income that President Bush has not hit yet is the Social Security tax, which costs about 80% of the Americans' workers' federal income tax. So there's a lot going on with this deal. Bush's private accounts don't make Social Security financially sound. The benefit cuts do, which are going to affect us all, basically. And private accounts are something that Bush is insisting on. And that's not something Social Security needs to regain its long-term financial footing. Shifting to private accounts under Bush's plan would lead to massive borrowing by the federal government, adding to that already huge deficit that we're facing right now. And under the current system, your Social Security taxes basically are going to pay for mom, pop, and grandma, and grandpa, plus disabled people and survivors. And if your money is going into a private account instead, who is Uncle Sam going to pay? How are they going to pay mom and pop? That's another question that kind of arises through this situation. And if you think about the answer, it's pretty simple. The same way that President Bush has paid for just about everything else, he borrows. So within the first 10 years of private accounts, the government probably will have to borrow somewhere near $1.3 trillion. That includes interest to make up for wage taxes that are no longer available to pay Social Security benefits. This assumes that two-thirds of the eligible workers opt for the accounts, which is another question in itself. So over the first 20 years, borrowing would probably total up to about $4.5 trillion. And basically, we'd be borrowing all this money to cover bets on stocks and bonds for a system with security in its name. And given that foreigners are financing almost all of our budget deficit, we're kind of hocking ourselves even more to the lenders, which are currently holding a lot of interest in Japan and China. So these are just some of the issues to think about, and how you feel about privatization of Social Security. We'll certainly take your phone calls on that right now. This is WRIF Night Call. I'm Mike McIntyre, filling in for Peter Werby. 313-298-WRIF is the number to call. Let's go to the telephone right now. We've got Cowboy on the line from Windsor. Let's see if we can bring him up. We will try that right now. Cowboy, are you there, buddy?
All right.
Well, welcome to Night Call. This is Mike sitting in for Peter Werby this week. We're talking about the Social Security issue and President Bush's plans to basically overhaul the whole system. What's on your mind tonight?
No, I just wanted to talk about this book I had read. It's called House of Bush, House of Saud.
Okay.
It details the incestuous intertwining of the Bush family going back, starting with the senior George Bush, with the Saudi royal family. And it talked about how George Bush Sr. was able to parlay the oil wealth that he managed to get from all these different oil companies into a political career, and how he just managed to become vice president and then president, and just exactly how he was able to rescue Junior from all of his failed business schemes, especially with oil.
Mm-hmm.
And it also mentioned the fact that I'm a sports fan. I've been a sports fan for 46 years. About how George Bush, president over there, was able to, among other things, I think he purchased the Texas Rangers or part of them for $500,000 and walked away with something like $15 million.
Sure.
That deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Which a lot of people thought was a little bit shady, to say the least. And but the kind of the most interesting thing about this book to me, anyways, is the fact that I always wondered why the Dallas Cowboys fired Jimmy Johnson, who took them to two Super Bowls. Well, it seems that one of the members of the Saudi family, I think Prince Bandar, was buddies with Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, and Jimmy Johnson was pretty strict about whom he allowed on the sidelines, and so he and Jones clashed about it a bit. And when Johnson continued to not want Prince Bandar on the sidelines, that's why Jones fired him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you'll never hear that on any of the football broadcasts or pre-game shows. Also, another member of the Saudi royal family was the owner of War Emblem, who won the 2001 Kentucky Derby.
That's correct, yeah.
And then he, this particular individual was, I believe, killed about, or at least something happened to him. It was very sinister, and then he died, I think, was it the next year, and also two other members of the Saudi royal family also
died
under some rather mysterious circumstances. This thing is really amazing. How nobody over there, or very few people over there. I know the press is all bound and gagged and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's become so corporate, but how few other people have even mentioned these things. And the worst thing about George W. Not the worst thing, obviously, but worst thing personally about George W. Bush is that we have a common birthday, unfortunately.
What's the name of the book again, buddy? I guess we lost him. I guess he's out of here. All right, let's go to line two and see what's happening here. We've got Eric from Southgate. Welcome to Night Call on WRIF. I'm Mike filling in for Peter Werby. What's up, man?
Hey, howdy, Mike.
How you doing?
I just had a question to your earlier comment about Social Security.
Yeah.
I remember in the 70s they used to have a welfare program. It seems to have been diverted into SSI.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, so the state shifted its welfare burden onto the Social Security system
mm-hmm.
in the name of Social Supplemental Income.
Right.
Am I get Social Security disability.
Mm-hmm.
I also get a little SSI check. But I see all these little 19-year-old kids in the psych wards getting mm-hmm. SSI. You know, I mean, shouldn't the state be paying that?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so, but that doesn't seem to be the direction that things are going to be heading in. What's your feeling on the privatization of Social Security? Are you for it, or are...
Don't you remember those two buildings being knocked down and my dad losing $50,000?
I think I do recall that, yeah.
Yeah, he's got about 20 grand of it back.
Wow.
But, you know...
Well, I appreciate your comments, man.
And I appreciate your resonance and your voice and legalized marijuana and medical marijuana.
All right, man, you have a great night. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. This is 101 FM WRAF Night Call. I'm Mike McIntyre sitting in for Peter Werby. Taking your phone calls, let's jump to Todd and Taylor. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good, man. Just trying to fit into a whole new sort of... atmosphere here with Peter out of town and me kind of sliding in, and I am by no stretch of the imagination, I want the audience to know that I am Peter Werby. I'm just here to try to have some fun, listen to you guys talk, learn
yeah.
some stuff, and throw some subjects out. So what's on your mind tonight?
Well, not a whole lot. You're doing a fine job.
Thank you, man.
I'd like to comment on the Social Security.
Okay.
That whole process.
Can I be bold enough to ask you how old you are?
I'm going to be 40 here in just a couple weeks.
Okay.
But the thing I got is I don't necessarily, I'm not for privatization in a sense, but mm-hmm. I think everyone agrees that there's a problem
mm-hmm.
down the road, whether it be 30 or 50 years down the road. And is it, do we fix the problem now or do we fix the problem later?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be the problem later.
Yeah.
I understand that we've got moms and pas right now that are going to be the problem today, but yet, too, the Democrats, I mean, they're saying that this is like an untouchable process, that FDR, this is the great process of taking care of the American people.
Sure.
We don't, but the system eventually is going to fail. I think everyone, no matter what aisle you stand on, it realizes that there's problems down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point do we do something? Because you're going to have a bunch of people my age that are going to pay into the system for 30, 35 years, and then all of a sudden one day they're going to say, well, it has come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or we're going to have to do something drastic. So do something drastic today or tomorrow. So I'm not necessarily for the privatization, but I think I'm for something. I think we have to address it. Now, whether or not it's through the Bush proposal, but then too, I don't hear the Democrats saying nothing but, well, we can't touch it. That's the one animal we can't touch. We've
mm-hmm.
got to leave it alone. But I think we all can agree, though, at some point we're going to have to do something.
So. All right. Well said, man. And I agree with you,
okay.
too. And I appreciate your call. You have yourself a great evening.
All right. You too.
Take care. All right, not WRAF 101 FM. I work so long at this other radio station, and then, as I mentioned earlier, do some stuff at our sister station at WCSX. If I get a little confused on the frequency, please don't shoot me, as I'm substituting for Peter Werby tonight on Night Call. Rick from Detroit, what's up, man?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad you called in. That really takes a lot of heat off me, you know?
Does it? Well, good. First off, I want to say I'm not a big Peter Werby fan.
Okay.
I completely disagree with the guy.
Okay.
I listen to him every week, just rail against every conservative point of view
mm-hmm.
that is out there. But on this one, if he was in your shoes, I'd have to agree.
Okay.
Bush is way off on privatizing something like this.
So as a right winger, you are against the privatization of Social Security.
I wouldn't call myself a right winger. I'm
mm-hmm.
conservative.
Okay.
Probably with someone that would be more like along the lines of a Reagan Democrat.
Okay.
Unlike Peter Werby. I think Reagan was a great president. I thought
right.
he was a phenomenal president. I really do.
Okay.
I think the guy in there right now is probably a good man, but I think he's inept as all hell.
Mm.
I think he's completely inept. He's not fit for that job at all. I don't think he's a bad person. But
mm.
I'm privatizing something like that, you know, in the stock market.
Mm.
These guys have been so scandalous and ripping off, you know, you remember the meltdown in 99-2000?
Sure.
You're going to do that with people's retirement savings?
Yeah,
I think Bush would kind of like to get his butt out of two fires. One would like to be a savior
mm-hmm.
for Social Security. But the other, when you take that type of money from Social Security, it'd be a hell of a stimuli for
mm-hmm.
the stock market, and it would really move the economy on false pretenses. You would create another bubble.
Sure.
Like,
And you'd have to take into consideration too the middle to lower income class people that
sure.
are investing their futures. I mean, if it collapses, they're done. They don't have an opportunity to rebound or to survive. And I mean, their history, their financial history is totally ruined. So
absolutely, just because someone wants to put one more zero behind all their wealth.
Exactly.
I'm not completely a right winger. I am very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one of the things in this country, and you know, Peter Werbe really rallies to the left, and I'm not rallying to the right.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If there's any listeners out there, if there's any credibility in people, people need to call both sides and both parties on their stuff.
Right.
Clinton was a very competent president, but he was a very immoral man. And you cannot go through term or presidencies or different administrations hoping for the best of people if you're not going to hold your own people accountable.
Well,
you just can't do that. Every person, if you're a Democrat, you need to hold their feet to the fire when they're on it. I get tired of listening to this partisan stuff where you do whatever you can to bring down whoever. You know, give people the benefit of the doubt on certain things, but when you disagree with them, by all means, disagree with them and challenge what you think and challenge who they are or what they want things. There's too much of this partisanship, and the people in this country are suffering from it. They really are, if you really want to be honest about it.
All right, Rick. Well, I appreciate your input, and again, appreciate your call.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, man. You have yourself a great evening. Enjoy Valentine's Day. 101 FM, WRIF, Night Call. Glad to be here. I'm Mike McIntyre. Again, give you a quick synopsis. Filling in for Peter Werbe for the next couple of Sundays. And just trying to learn some stuff and have some fun. Hopefully talk some subjects that interest you guys. We are going to move on to a couple of different things throughout the evening. Right now, we are talking about the privatization of Social Security. Matt's on the phone from Clarkston. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. Just chilling like Dylan, you know?
I think you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
And it's great to hear a new voice besides Peter's.
Well, Peter, you know, Peter's been doing this for like 34 years.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that I can recall that there's ever been an incident where they've had like a sub come in. And it puts me in the hot seat a little bit. I mean, this guy's an award winner, and he's a respected icon in Detroit radio broadcasting. So I'm just glad to be getting the phone calls. You know what I mean? Again, those numbers, 313-298-WRIF. Go ahead, man. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, no question. Ditto on what you said about Peter. I used to listen to him, when I was, before high school. I'm, in my late 30s now, but... one of the things on Night Call is, Peter will take any topic. And
sure.
One of the things, maybe to mix it up a little was I was going to bring up about concealed weapons permits. And one of the things, you may want to address this or you may not or any of your other callers, but, we've had, permits that it's been a shall issue state for about the past 3 or 4 years,
right?
And there were all these worries about road rage and all these other things, and none of these issues have happened. And the funny thing is, all these naysayers, before the shall issue law went into effect, I haven't heard from any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what your position was, and I'd let let you take the airwaves and kind of get your two cents.
In terms of gun control.
Well, yeah, in terms of carrying concealed weapons, now that it's Michigan's a shall issue state, and just about anybody, as long as you're not a criminal or have mental issues, you can get a permit to carry concealed weapons.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things was, it's a good thing that, it may prevent crime as far as people that are law-abiding citizens can carry concealed weapons. And, at this point, the criminals don't know who's carrying a weapon. So,
well, that's supposed to be the premise. But let me ask you this, Matt. Who's defining what mental illness is? Who defines that? Is that defined through the people that you're registering for your permit for? I mean, what type of an analysis is given on any mental stability of anybody who wants to carry a gun? And that's the thing that scares me.
Well, one of the things is, as far as on the permit, when you go to the licensing board, if you've ever been treated for any type of mental illness, whether it's depression or, schizophrenia, they're going to take a second look at you, and it's going to be a red flag. But for, those of us who have not been treated for that or even remotely, been in the mental health system, they have no discretion but to issue, and I think it's a good thing, and I wonder what your position was on that.
Well, I agree with the Constitution. I mean, you should be able to carry a gun, you should be able to bear arms, and you should be able to defend yourself if you need to. Now, that can go two ways or in either direction, but, you know, I believe that everybody has a right to do that as an American. I mean, that's my point of view, and that may not be what everybody else agrees with, and that's why we're here to discuss that, and I do appreciate your call. Thank you very much, Matt. We're getting back to the telephones. Let's go to Dane. Dane is in Chesterfield. We're talking Social Security or just about anything else that's on your mind tonight. What's going on? It's Mike filling in for Peter Werby on Night Call. How you doing, Dane?
I'm doing good. Good. By the way, you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Amazing. I'd like to comment on Bush. He just seems like he needs to look into what he's doing, because he seems to be kind of almost like a high school bully. He's kind of like, in the Middle East, he's like, I don't like this person. Let's go beat him up.
Always been the key to George Bush, is slamming fear into the American minds? I mean, isn't that how he won the election, through fear?
Well, I guess so. I'm saying I think they needed to have, a new amendment saying if the whole, population thinks the president's dumb, we need to take a vote on what he thinks.
Well, you can also look at it in another angle, too. I mean, he was voted in. I mean, the people voted him in January, and... how many of those statistics are true? How many of the votes were counted properly? I guess none of us will ever know. But, George Bush, has built his administration on fear. He scared people. The 9/11 tactics, there's always a warning going up about, this terrorist may happen, this might happen. Defend your family. Find a safe place to go. And people are so ingrained with fear now that I guess they just believe anything they hear. And that's a sad state of affairs, when people stop thinking for themselves, especially a government that's supposed to be governed by the people.
Oh, yeah. This democracy has just gone sadly downhill with Bush. What do I think? He's just...
You're doing good, man. You're doing good. Keep it up.
All right. I'm just kind of running blank.
Well, that's good, man. You've already expressed yourself pretty well, so I appreciate that. I'm going to go to Mike in Port Huron. Thank you for listening to Night Call tonight. I appreciate it. Mike, you there, buddy?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's happening, my friend?
There's some big shoes you're filling there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I got a lot of respect for Peter Werby, and to have him more or less hand-select me for this is quite an honor, but it's also, at the same time, kind of a terrifying experience, because as I've said a couple times during the program, what I do is music-related, and I try to come on and have some fun and learn some stuff, and I'm in the groove, and you sound good, so tell me what's on your mind, buddy.
Hey, you are sounding good. I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the fear-mongering that this administration does to push forward whatever they want to do. We saw it in Iraq leading up to, what do we need, a mushroom cloud,
right?
Before we're ready to act. What they do is they convince people that they have to act fast. This is daddy talking. We'll take charge. You just sit back and stay out of the way. They're trying to do the same thing with Social Security. The sky is falling. The sky is falling, right?
Right, exactly. That seems to be the mentality.
Right. Well, the thing is, they're getting some resistance this time around anyway. Before, Congress was like, fell right into it, in the media, too. At least, I think a lot of it has to do with the grassroots organizations like Move On, I'm involved with, AFL-CIO, I'm a union member. They're having a harder go of it anyway.
That brings up something interesting, too, that I was going to talk a little bit about later in the show. But since you're mentioning unions, obviously this Walmart story out of Canada, which hit a couple of days ago, they're going to close that Canadian Walmart down because it looks like for the first time ever that the workers may win a union contract from the world's biggest retailer. And they're claiming that if the food and commercial workers of Canada and the Quebec Labor Union get together and they do form a union, that Walmart is not going to be able to be efficient and profitable. And I guess the question I'm posing on that, and I'll ask you this, is what does this mean for unions in general? And do they still have that stronghold and power that they once held?
I've been kind of following that, and I understand there's a lawsuit. Basically, is what Walmart said nothing until they got to the point where it was going to go to arbitration about the wage and benefits.
Right. It was ready. They were ready to close the deal and have the union come in, and now they've decided that they're going to close this place down and they're going to shut it down in May. So I wonder what repercussions that's going to have on unions in general, since this is such a big union town and an automotive town. You wonder what effects that's going to have on people that are paying their union dues and believe in their union. And, you know, Reagan did it with the traffic controllers. And, you know, it seems to me that, you know, maybe unions don't have that stronghold that they used to have. And maybe people out there that are in unions can call up and give a different point of view on that.
Well, the difference in this struggle is that most of the unions across the board are uniting to attempt to organize them, and a lot of money is being put forth. Walmart's the largest company in the world, and they have a standing policy that they will do whatever is necessary to keep the unions out.
Mm-hmm.
There was a store down south where the meat cutters organized a couple years ago, and once they were organized, the store decided they were no longer going to cut meat on the premises. It was all brought in packaged, and they got rid of everybody. Well, see, the thing is, the problem is Walmart's standing policy was to do anything to keep unions out, whether it's illegal or not. They'll deal with the litigation.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is to keep them out. And to me, I don't understand this. If I do something like this, before I know it, they're calling me a racketeer and using special laws to prosecute me when I'm systematically breaking the law in that way. But for some reason, Walmart seems to be above it. Well, we know this administration is not friendly to labor. You know, you look at the whole scale violation of workers' rights from the ground up, and they turn their head the other way.
Right.
You know, well, you look at George Bush. He looks around and says, here's my base, the haves and the have-mores. So what does that tell you right there?
All right, my friend, well said, and I appreciate your call.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
All right, man. You have a good one. We'll talk again soon, I hope. 101 FM WRAF Night Call happening. I'm Mike McIntyre filling in for Peter Werby. We're going to take a timeout in just a minute or so. First, though, we're going to jump to one more call. Let's hit Terry in Dearborn. Terry, how you doing this evening, and what's up?
I'm doing good. Thanks for being there.
Oh, man, I'm doing my best. Having a good time. Thank you for calling in.
Great. 3 points, if I could. Motion that Social Security needs to be fixed now better than later.
Uh-huh.
No, I totally disagree with that. We should, for one, wait till someone who is in office who likes the system and wants to fix it,
mm-hmm.
rather than someone who hates the system and wants to ruin it.
How old are you, Matt? How old are you?
Me, I'm 43.
Okay. Man, you sound a lot younger than that. I was thinking maybe you're in your 20s, and I was going to say, well, wait, you know, this is really going to affect you probably harder than anybody else. But
thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you for your comments, and I appreciate it. Go ahead. If you've got more to say, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And two, the Democrats do have a solution. It's a very simple one.
Mm-hmm.
You could just repeal or roll back Bush's tax cuts, and that would fix it for probably forever.
Yeah,
and
you're probably right.
And to prove that Bush does not care about the future, I care about your future by trying to fix Social Security. If he cared about our future, he'd go in with the Kyoto Accords, which are supposed to start in a couple of days. Because one or two more degrees of global warming could just devastate many islands, could flood them out and kill lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
We saw what happened with the tsunami.
Right.
So obviously he doesn't care about the future. He just cares about the investment bankers, the Wall Street contributors, all his rich buddies.
All right.
Okay?
Well, I appreciate it, Terry. Have yourself a great night. Thanks for listening to Night Call. We're going to take a time out, come back with more next. It's Night Call on 101 FM WRIF.
Your opinion matters. Call 313. You're listening to WRIF.com.
Build it and they will come.
What'd you say there, Philip?
Build it and they will come.
Speak up there, bud.
I said build it and they will come.
Well, you're a gall-darned idiot. If you think just because you build a Harley-Davidson dealership, folks will just show up, you gotta give them what they want, for crying out loud. Out in Metro Detroit, this is Biker Bob, and I'm coming to Motown in March to bring you the newest Harley-Davidson experience.
Who's Biker Bob?
Oh, my gosh, it's
Biker Bob is coming to Detroit.
My new dealership is focused on one thing. Can do. Smiling faces serving all your Harley-Davidson needs, from sales to rentals, service to storage, clothing to chrome. Biker Bob has everything you need to keep you on the open road with the sun kissing on your face and the wind pushing your backside. Biker Bob's is always a fun place to hang out all summer long with good times guaranteed. Listen right here on WRIF for my 60-second late-night radio talk show for advice on your motorcycle questions. We're coming to Detroit March 4th, 2005. If you want more info, you can jump onto that there World Wide Web at www.bikerbobsharley.com.
It's coming to the Novi Expo Center on Saturday, April 2nd, the 4th annual Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by your Detroit Dodge dealers. If you own a company or retail shop such as a skate shop, men's clothing store, fitness and health, tax service, sporting goods, jewelry store, music and entertainment, furniture, golf, gadgets, or anything that interests men, this is your opportunity to introduce your product or service to thousands of metro area men. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. Many special features and attractions will be announced soon. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. You've got to be there. The Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by Dodge. Grab life by the horns.
This is WRIM.com.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We had Jamie Kennedy in studio, and he was telling us about his pre-celebrity days in Hollywood waiting tables.
I worked at this place called Veggie Gourmet. And there was these two brothers that owned it, and they were from Brooklyn. They talk like this. You know, how they doing? But they were vegans. But they were like the Sopranos. And it was so weird.
You eat all the soy sauce. You eat all the soy tofu. Who would you eat the tofu for?
So Ron Jeremy would come in, and when he'd come in, they'd go, "Hey, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ron Jeremy." And like they would clap for him. Like there was like one person in the room. Like it was Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
And then they turn to me. They go, "Hey, idiot." They go, "Treat Ron. Give him anything he wants. Okay? He's really good people."
So a hedgehog comes in. Ron would be on the phone and be like, he's like, "Yeah, hold on a second. Do you have organic apple juice? That's organic, right?" "All right, I'm going to have that." "Yeah, hold on. Okay, wait. What time is the orgy scene?"
Drew and Mike in the morning. Broadcast program. On the Riff. 101-101. Riff.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tenney Street Roadhouse, located on West Village Drive in the heart of West Dearborn. Tenney Street Roadhouse features great American food and great American music.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Lunchtime Rocks with the Doc. You pick the Riff Rock. You win the prizes. It's the High Noon All Request Lunch Hour. Weekdays at noon with the Doc of Rock, Doug Podell. Only on 101 WRIF. Detroit's Rock Station.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
They took advantage of our time talking to Al Roker from the Today Show to point out Matt Lauer's hair and how horrible it is. I can't look at him. He looks like horrible.
He's freaking everyone out, Al. You guys just don't know it.
Let me just check here. He's on TV. You guys are on radio. Let's see.
Al, we're just talking about his hair. We're not knocking the guy.
You do a focus group on this guy, you'll find people hate his hair.
They don't hate his hair.
Yes,
nobody
they do.
Hates, they don't hate his hair.
Yes, they do.
They don't hate his hair.
They do.
I said they don't.
They do.
Don't.
Infinity.
Don't.
Infinity plus one.
Super triple double infinity.
Drew and Mike in the morning. Broadcast program. On the Riff. 101-101.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants
like Bellacino's Pizza and Grinders with 17 locations. Go to Bellacino's.
Bellacinos.com to find a Bellacinos near you.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full-price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. The quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Your chance to take control of the WRIF playlist. With the guy who lost control a long time ago. The Riff's All Request Riff and Rock at 9 o'clock with Meltdown, the big unit. Weekday nights at 9 on 101 WRIF, Detroit's Rock Station. Rock Station. Rock Station. Rock Station. Rock Station. Rock Station.
Rock Station. Rock Station. Exactly. I've been paying into it now for 30 years since I've been working 12 years old. So, you know, I got 20-something more years to go.
All right.
You're an alcoholic or drug addict, you know. You can get the Social Security, but I've got relatives that are disabled can't get it.
Well, in all fairness, too, a lot of that Social Security money is going to disable the needy people.
Exactly.
So.
But, you know, there's a lot of people that don't put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we lose out.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your insight, Bob. You have yourself a great night.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
Let's go to Eric. Eric, what's happening, buddy? You're in Ipsy tonight. How's the weather out there?
The same as probably where you are.
A little icy. A little windy, a little cold. Absolutely. Anyway, what's on your mind tonight, man?
Well, I think the situation with North Korea is more serious than certain individuals are letting us on to believe.
Mm-hmm. But the talks have broke down. The six-table talks have busted up, and basically it's in limbo right now. Which is kind of a scary thought.
Well, not only that, it's just we've had tensions with them for over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying that they have nukes. Mm-hmm. And they also have an untested long-range missile, which they could very well, you know, decide to test.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they sent a congratulatory note to Iran saying, hey, boys, way to go, and saying that you're going to defend themselves. And they did that on the eve of the revolution, which didn't make folks in our government very happy.
Mm-hmm. So do you see the U.S. having to possible strikes going on over there? Do you think we're going to keep our nose out of it and take care of what we need to take care of right now? How do you see that?
Good question. It's just I don't have any. I didn't necessarily take any time to think of a solution. I mean, my immediate concern is it's very serious there than. More so than certain people are letting us on the believe, as Condoleezza Rice.
I would agree with you on that, and it puts our nose up somebody else's you-know-what to stir up more hatred of America around the world. So we'll see where that one goes, and I appreciate your call. You have yourself a great night.
You too.
Thank you very much. 101 FM WRIF Night Call. I'm Mike McIntyre in for Peter Werby. 313-298-WRIF are the numbers here in the studio. Let's go to Bruce. Bruce is out there tonight hanging out. How's your Sunday evening going, buddy?
It's going wet.
Good. Yeah, you're not kidding. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was talking about the Social Security topic.
Yeah.
Hey, I stopped in the office over in Dearborn to pick up my mother an application for Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
The entire office was filled up with Arabic people that were born in the United States that were collecting Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, who paid into it for 20 years, is getting a hard time about collecting.
And why are they giving her a hard time?
It's carpal tunnel. It's hard to prove, I guess. I don't know.
Say that again, because you're breaking up a little bit. I didn't hear that last comment.
She has carpal tunnel, so it's hard to collect on carpal tunnel.
Oh, so she's permanently disabled because of that.
Yes.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
But like I said, the entire office was filled up with Arabs that were born in the United States that are collecting Social Security.
All right, well, you know, sometimes that's the American way, my friend, and I appreciate your call. You have yourself a good night. Let's go to Russ in Clarkston. Russ, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good night. Good evening, Mike. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm having a good time. Glad you called. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, before I say anything, I just want to say God bless America and thank you for the opportunity for us to be able to express our opinions and views like this. And we may all have difference of opinion. You know what? That's one thing that makes this country great.
This is why it's called the USA.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons why I'm calling in, actually two of the reasons, real quickly. One, you mentioned about George Bush and his administration basing his whole premise on fear, and he was probably reelected because of fear and so on and so forth. I'm just going to simply say, Mike, I disagree with you.
Okay.
I'm 35 years old, and for 30-something years that I've actually listened to politics or listened to our public officials, I can tell you right now that for as long as I've been alive, the Democratic playbook has been class warfare and fear of the rich man. Yet, people like John Kerry and John Edwards comes exactly from the lawyer malpractice background. And I know you had a caller a couple calls ago that said George Bush is all for the rich man and so on and so forth. But, you know, 9/11 was a very significant event in this country, and I think at this very time people have forgotten and become complacent about many issues.
Okay.
And I just simply wanted to say I thank God and appreciate the president that at least we took a stand after 12 years of the United Nations failing to make Iraq comply with Article 1441. It's about damn time that somebody said enough.
And as far
as Social Security, two things to consider. One, there's a county in Texas that privatized and went to a cafe-style platform, and the country of Chile has done it since the mid-'80s. The average return on the public's investment is over 15%. Now, those are two case studies that the Bush administration are simply saying, let's take a look and see what they're doing. Not that that's what we need to do, but let's at least consider it. And the Democrats are saying, oh, it's evil George Bush and the evil rich Republicans, and I just see it all as all rhetoric. I'd like an opportunity to review those types of things and not have the federal government tell me that I have to do something which they themselves have elected themselves out of. They don't pay into the Social Security plan that you and I and all other Americans do.
Sure.
They're set for life in their own private plan. Why can't we have that same option?
Okay, Russ. Well said. I appreciate your call. You have a great evening. Let's go to Nicole in Novi. Novi, Michigan. What's up, Nicole? Welcome to WRIF Night Call. How you doing?
Thank you, and good job tonight. You sound really good.
Oh, thank you very much.
I just wanted to say I really agree with what that last guy said. And,
yeah.
You know, thank God somebody had the nerve to say what he just did say. And if you don't trust the government, these Democrats that are saying how much they don't trust the government, but they're going to trust them with Social Security. Look at welfare. Look at Medicaid. Those are programs run by the government. And how well have they done? And why do people want the government to tell them that they can't do with their Social Security what they want to do with it? Why?
Well, I think people's fear is investing into something that they don't have complete control over, because the government even will have control over a privatized account, you know, and I think some people are...
Do we have control over where it is right now? Aren't we taking to some degree a risk with it right now?
I suppose in a way, yeah. I guess you could say that in a way you are, but it's already in a system that's been set up since, you know, FDR, and it seems to be working okay. But, you know, the fear is, I guess, if, again, I go back to that word with the Bush administration, is that this thing's going to be dried up for, you know, the next generation and the following generation. And I don't see it that way. I really don't. And I would much rather have something that is already in place. And, you know...
And then if it does fail and we don't have a backup plan and we're not doing this, it's going to be the same Democrats that are crying about, you know, Bush is trying the whole fear tactics. They're going to be blaming him for not doing anything about it, because a Democrat's biggest fear is that someone somewhere can help themselves. And this is seen as helping ourselves. And, you know, it's like it's the whole thing with having a huge government to control every aspect of our life. You know, the smaller the government, the better.
Okay.
And... I just really think that's how it should be. I don't want the government telling me what to do with my Social Security, and I don't want my taxes raised. I'm taxed enough.
Right.
I'm grateful for the taxes, the tax cuts. And for people, if they want to send their checks back, good for them. I'm not going to.
Well said,
Nicole. Rather than complaining, you know, send it back. That's all I had to say.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. You have yourself a good night. Thank you very much.
All right, you too.
101 FM, WRIF, Night Call, 313-298-WRIF. I'm Mike McIntyre, sitting in for Peter Werby. Peter will be back in a couple of weeks. We've got Social Security on our minds this evening, and we're talking about some different things and issues. We're talking unions and whatever else you guys want to talk about tonight. Fire the calls my way. We'll go to Steve in Keego Harbor. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
I just got a quick point to make about the Social Security thing.
Yeah.
This isn't really like a new problem. You know, the baby boomers have been aging for years. Somebody should have been, you know, thinking about the consequences of what's going to happen, you know, years ago. And I agree with the guy that called in earlier who said something to the effect that we need to have somebody in office who wants to save the program rather than kill the program. When, you know, when
or make a drastic change to it.
Yeah, exactly. And I noticed you've been asking people how old they are all night.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be looking for somebody in their 20s. Well, I'm 21.
Yeah, see, I'm kind of interested because it's really going to be your generation that's really going to be affected by this. And I think these are your age demographic are the ones that the Bush administration is currently trying to market and trying to convince that, you know, there's probably, this is the best way to go and, you know, let's begin anew. So it's interesting to hear that maybe you don't share that same point of view.
Yeah, I'm not really a strong Bush supporter at all. And in my opinion, the less things he does in office is better for everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember actually discussing this in high school back in maybe my freshman year of high school, seven years ago, and how this was going to be a problem. And, you know, as far as I recall, nobody came up with any great ideas. But
right.
I don't think that the privatization of it is going to help too much. I mean, Social Security has been in effect for how long? I mean,
yeah, a long time since going back to the FDR days. Yeah,
yeah, long, long time. And, you know, like I said, somebody should have seen this coming years and years and years ago and done something then.
Okay, Steve, I appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy your night, and thanks for calling in. I do appreciate that. Let's go to Eric and Warren. Eric, you hanging out, buddy? You still there?
Yep, I'm still there.
Good. What's on your mind, dude?
Well, I think the Social Security, I mean, I pay about maybe it's probably $7,000 a year into it.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is they're going to let you play with 4%. You know, that's not really a whole lot of money to put into the stock market. You know, I mean, I don't see it being all that useful. You know, 4% of $7,000.
Well, under the current system, workers generally contribute about 6.2% of their wages to the Social Security system. Under Bush's plan, you'd eventually be able to divert as much as 4% into a personal investment account that could be invested among, like, a limited number of government-selected bonds or funds. And then that account is can't be spent or borrowed against until your retirement. And then at your retirement, you still get a traditional Social Security check, but it's going to be a little bit smaller. Obviously, that kind of reflects your diminished contribution to the system. And you could also be required to commit a portion of your personal account to an annuity, and your annuity commitment would have to be large enough that the monthly proceeds plus your Social Security check would keep you at least above the poverty line. Now, what if some people can't do that?
Yeah, it don't sound like... It just kind of sounds like kind of useless. I don't think it's a good idea. I think everybody should stick together and fight them on it. You know, some of the decisions, you know, are all right, but that this one's just, I don't think it's that great. You know, I think people got to try to stop them on that because it just seems useless. You know, I mean, if the market's down, you're going to...
You're putting yourself in a position where you could be ruined financially.
Right.
And
you know, when you get to retirement age, it you know, like after the tech stocks went down, you know, just recently, you know, when the market pushed it up over its value and nobody wanted to buy it, that created a recession.
Right.
And we're still in it. So I've watched people who had $400,000 in their 401ks. It fell down to like less than $100,000.
Sure.
You know? And you don't want to do that with your retirement. You know?
Exactly. I mean, exactly. It's not like if you do decide to invest, it's not like you can invest with like a brother-in-law who's on the stock market. I mean, you've got to follow the thrift savings plan that's, you know, available to the federal government workers. And you've got to invest in like five broad general funds, large cap stock funds, a small cap stock fund, international stock fund, a corporate bond fund, or a treasury bond fund. And the government also claims to be offering what's called a life cycle fund, in which the mix of investment changes according to the investor's age. So you don't really, you're still under their thumb, more or less.
Yeah, it don't seem that like it'd be worth doing, you know. It's just kind of a big waste, and
I definitely hope the people will stop it, because
okay, man. Well,
I appreciate
your insight, and thanks for calling Night Call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Tim in New Boston. Tim, you hanging out, buddy? All right, we don't have Tim. Let's see what else we've got going on here. Betty from Ann Arbor is online. Betty, welcome to WRAF Night Call. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? Good to hear you.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
I wanted to comment on that girl that called and the other guy that are obviously very uninformed about this scam that Bush is pulling.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, what did you say, 4%?
Yes.
What is 4% of $500 a month?
There you go.
That's what you get to invest. Furthermore, in order to invest it, you have to invest it to the companies they say.
Mm-hmm.
So like Enron and any companies, Halliburton, that they own, mm-hmm. they want their greasy paws on all that money. Because we have a huge surplus, you people, and it won't go bankrupt. It won't even be a problem, much less bankrupt. They won't even have to mess with it till 2052.
Right.
But...
Well, that's what the Democrats are saying, that it could go till about 2052, and there's arguments about that too.
Even the Republicans are saying 2040 something.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever, that leaves the young people. They don't even have to worry about that for another 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is nonsense. They want their money, their greedy paws on that money. That's all there is to it. They have squandered everything else. And what he's doing is he's suggesting that the government is not safe, that you can't trust the government bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the people in the other countries, which we owe trillions to Russia, et cetera, mm-hmm. they're not going to trust us to loan us any more money.
Japan, China, I mean, we're in debt to all. They're picking up our deficit.
Yeah. And then in France and everybody, and now Bush is out here squawking about how untrustworthy the government is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how stupid can you get? They're not going to trust us to give us any money. Meanwhile, these dumb people think that they're going to take a whole big $20 and they're going to get in the stock market with Bush telling them where they're going to put their money. You know, Ken Lay worked in the office with Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if these people check anything out, Bush appointed the SEC, Social Exchange Commissioner, or whatever he's called, to investigate Enron. Guess who that guy was? Harvey Pitt,
right.
The Enron employee for 15 years, mm-hmm. their lawyer. Enron's lawyer was hired by Bush at the behest of Ken Lay to investigate Enron. I mean, these guys have been investigating each other. The fox are in the chicken hen house.
Sure.
It's disgusting. People better wake up out there. These are the biggest scam artists ever. They tell her to go watch 9/11. Yeah, I know. They're saying this is all a farce. Go watch it. It's Bush's own words. He says, they might call you the elite. I call you my base.
Mm.
Laughing at us all the way to the bank.
All right, Betty. Thank you very much. You have yourself a great evening. Thanks for calling Night Call. I appreciate it.
Oh,
it's been a good time. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
101 FM, WRAF, Night Call. We believe we have a caller here who hasn't given his or her name. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's on your mind, man?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I don't get, this needs to be clarified. You're still putting in 6%, right? But
Roughly 6.2%, yeah.
Okay. But they're just giving you an option to play around with 4%. I don't see how that's any different, because all it's doing is, unless I'm mistaken, it's just giving those people who want to try and sit in something else as an opportunity. But I'm sure they're going to have some kind of, like, you know, low risk, you know, this is what we suggest kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's different avenues of investment that they're offering up. And I did have that information in front of me right here, and for some reason it's disappeared. But I will find that, and I'll talk about that. But I appreciate your call, man. You have yourself a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. All right, let's join Roy. Roy, how you doing, buddy? Welcome to WRAF and Night Call.
Well, good evening. Yeah, I wanted to kind of chime in. I'm an old timer. I'm on the leading edge of the baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
If the whole thing with the Social Security, though, Mike, is I've already, just in the short time I've been listening to you,
mm-hmm.
there has been so much distortion, misinformation, soundbite, talking points from the right wing.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a number from Paul Krugman just yesterday that the kid that was on, it was 21,
mm-hmm.
he's already screwed.
Yeah.
He's already screwed. He's already got a bill of over $35,000
mm-hmm.
already for the tax cuts. in the next 10 years, if they did the privatization of Social Security, we'll borrow another $45,000 in his name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a no-win situation. What Bush wants to do is he wants to destroy it. He wants to completely bankrupt the country so that there is no social, no money left for anything social.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the black and white of it, long and short of it.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to bankrupt the whole system. The fellow that was, thank God that Bush is around, if he is such a, I just get really upset.
Mm-hmm.
If Bush wanted to do whatever he wants to do, why doesn't he say what he wants to do instead of lying about it?
Mm-hmm.
We were lied into the war. I was lied into Vietnam. I was out raising hell to try to keep us out of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. And to go in there, break the bank, to take over the Middle East, to create total instability, is, and he lied and lied and lied and lied and lied. And every time he says Social Security isn't going to bankrupt, well, excuse me, my definition of bankrupt is when you don't have any money. If they didn't do a thing, they still pay 80% of the benefits in 2042.
Right.
That's when he's saying it's going to be stone broke. That is, by definition, a bald-faced lie.
All right. Well, Roy,
the man is a liar.
Well, I appreciate your call, buddy. You have a good night, and thanks for being a part of Night Call tonight. I do appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, let's jump out to another call here. Are you online?
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. What's on your mind tonight?
I had a couple comments about the Social Security issue there.
Yeah.
Either way, we're either going to have to make something more happen with the money that's being put in or pay more money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the gist of it. And most people don't want to have the extra taxes added in.
Mm-hmm. So,
I don't necessarily agree with Bush's plan, but something has to be done. I'm only 26, so that'll probably affect me.
Are you in fear of that? I mean, are you astute enough to look ahead, you know, another 30 years or 35 years to where you'll be at that point and then, you know, really take to issue what it is that's being asked of you, particularly your generation, because it's going to affect you probably the most.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of breaking up here. What was that?
No, I was just asking if, you know, this particular privatization issue is really going to be affecting your generation, and have you given thought to the next 30 or 35 years on where you want to go with this privatization thing or continue with the system as it is? I mean, because it's really going to probably affect your generation more than, say, mine.
Well, I definitely think that I'm going to have to rely a lot more on my own retirement plan than being able to count on a Social Security check, and I really don't see myself maybe getting as much or any at all when that time comes.
And does that have any concern at all, especially if you're out paying into the system right now? Do you feel like, you know, you could possibly be shortchanged by your government?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, and something to think about, buddy, and I thank you for being a part of Night Call tonight. You have a good one. Be safe if you're traveling out there, all right? Let's take one more before we go to a timeout here. It's Rick in Waterford. Rick, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good evening, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I just had a couple quick comments. I find it interesting that we're talking Social Security, and it sounds like a handful of the recent callers were older generation type folks that may even be drawing Social Security benefits even now.
Quite possible, yeah.
And I understand their concern. You know, change is a scary thing, especially when you start talking about Social Security. But I find it interesting, Mike, that for the years leading up to Bill Clinton taking office and then the 8 years while he was in office, and I'd like to clearly state this.
Sure, that's why we're here.
Okay, thank you. Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Tom Daschle, Howard Dean, all of the leading Democrat officials were saying over and over and over down our throats that Social Security was a train wreck waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they flip-flopping now?
and I'm not trying to steal the term flip-flop just because of the last convention, but that, Mike, that is fact. And
yeah.
I hear people say, oh, it's not broke because we're, or it doesn't need to be fixed because we're being told it doesn't need to be fixed by the same people that for 8 years told us it was a train wreck because the Republicans aren't doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying we should all jump on board with what Bush is proposing, but the caller a little while ago that gave two examples of the one in Texas and the one in Chile is absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
I did some research on that last week in school, and he's right. It is an average 15% return.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty, you're out there, and your caller a couple calls ago mentioned a snippet from Michael Moore's 9/11.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Well, but let me say this. Michael Moore himself is a confessed liar. He's already come out and said that his documentaries aren't documentaries because documentaries are based upon fact. He flat out confessed that he editorialized and cut and pasted pieces of film together, which made, you know, Bush and some of Bush's people look bad for ratings. He's a self-confessed liar.
Mm-hmm.
And if we believed Clinton and Gore and et cetera for those 8 years that the system was broken, a train wreck, why are we turning our back now simply because we have an official that said, let's look at another option?
Well,
I don't see that as a scary thing.
All right, Rick, well said. I appreciate your time, and thanks for being a part of WRAF and Night Call this evening. We'll have more phone calls when we return in just a moment. 313-298-WRIF, the number here in the studio. Riff Night Call coming back in just a couple of minutes.
You're listening to Night Call with Peter Werby.
There are so many choices in mortgages these days for the first-time homebuyer and even for experienced homeowners looking simply to refinance. Searching for a mortgage can be a frustrating and confusing time. Why not let Financial Independence Mortgage make your financing search easier? Financial Independence Mortgage provides you with all the relevant information about mortgages and will find you the perfect mortgage to fit your personal needs. It's as simple as filling out a one-page application, and Financial Independence won't make you wait long for your approval. Typically, you'll get a response within 24 hours. Get a free quote from all of the top lending institutions so you know you have a fair comparison of what's available to you on the market. You simply can't find a better, more thorough, more personalized way to ensure yourself of getting the best mortgage at the best rate possible. Competitive rates, very fast closing times, and Financial Independence Mortgage can handle exactly the type of mortgage to fit your personal needs, whether or not you have some blemishes on your credit. Find out today the difference Financial Independence Mortgage can make for you at 248-594-7582. That's Financial Independence Mortgage at 248-594-7582.
Tired of low-price LASIK ads that promise a great price only to find that it quadruples when you actually go there? Well, you'll never have that experience with Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center. At the Lake Laser Eye Center, there are no gimmicks and no games. Only $9.99 an eye or as low as $33 per month per eye. You know your costs up front with no hidden charges. You receive top personalized service and see Dr. Combati himself at each visit. The Lake Laser Eye Center is not an assembly line designed to get people in and out as quickly as possible. They're committed to you and offer the highest standards of eye care using the state-of-the-art Visix S4 laser with active eye tracking. One visit to Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center and you'll understand why he's one of the most respected and accurate eye surgeons in Michigan. You owe it to yourself to receive the best care for the best price. Appointments are going fast. Call Lake Laser Eye Center today at 1-877-UC-MORE. That's 1-877-UC-MORE. Again, 1-877, the letter U, S-E-E-M-O-R-E. Or visit ucmore.com. These are your eyes, and this is the care you deserve. You've searched today like every other day for those annoying reading glasses. It's gotten to the point where you just can't see the newspaper without them. Well, now you don't have to search for your glasses anymore due to a new procedure from Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center called Near Vision CK. Near Vision CK is a safe, simple, 5-minute procedure that's usually done on one eye and for just $9.99 or as low as $33 a month. This exciting procedure will finally eliminate your need for reading glasses. Call Dr. Combati today at the Lake Laser Eye Center, 1-877-UC-MORE, to set up your free consultation. You'll see Dr. Combati himself, and he'll take the time to answer all of your questions and thoroughly explain the Near Vision CK procedure. That number again is 1-877, the letter U, S-E-E-M-O-R-E. Or you can visit the website, www.useemore.com, for Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center. And get ready to throw those reading glasses away.
You're listening to
WRIF.com.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Cafe West, specializing in fresh seafood, saltwater fish, Angus beef, wild game, and poultry, located on West Jefferson and Trenton.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full-price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. The quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Hello, how are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We talk with former Philadelphia Eagle and current Pro Football Hall of Famer Chuck Bednarik, who many consider to be the last true two-way player in NFL history. Oh, God, was this cool.
Here's the thing about being a two-way player. When you play center, you make contact on every single play. When you play linebacker, you make contact on every single play. This so-called guy, you know, what the hell was his name? Thought he was a two-way player.
Oh, Deion Sanders?
Jesus, he couldn't tackle my wife, Emma. I understand they're talking about putting him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
My remark is then, if he gets in, I want to get out of
here. Mike in the Morning. Broadcast program. On the Riff. 101-101-101. Riff. Make your request. Win cool Riff gear. And schmooze with the Hoopa. It's your all-request Riff rock and ride home with Big Daddy RZP. From the Motor City's one and only. Home of rock and roll. 101 WRIF. Riff. Rocks.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tudo Ristorante on Erie Street in Windsor. If it's not on the menu, Tudo's chefs will custom make entrees to your liking.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Hello, how are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We made our annual Super Bowl calls, and to everybody's surprise, came up with ex-line coach and current Eagles offensive coordinator Marty Morningweg.
This is Marty.
Marty, it's Drew and Mike calling WRIF Radio in Detroit.
Uh-oh.
How you doing?
Ouch.
How you doing?
Well, getting ready for a game.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, how much do you not miss Detroit?
Oh, no, I miss Detroit. Hey, to tell you the truth, right down there in Plymouth, we had some great friends, and my wife and kids enjoyed it very much.
Did you want to draft Joey? I mean, there's been so much debate over who wanted him, who didn't want him.
Well, it wasn't my call. I like Joey very much. I didn't have him quite that high. At that point, the roster had been torn down. You know, we were 6-passing that first year with 3 different quarterbacks, and you know, philosophically, I wanted to kind of build a defense, and we just were decimated at the corner spot. So
was Jammer the guy you wanted?
There was one of 3 situations. You know, it was not my call. The call was made for the future of the franchise.
Drew and Mike in the Morning. Broadcast program. On the Riff. 101-101.
3298 WRIF, and before I grab another call here, I've got to say to the producers of the show, Rolf Dizzy and Jay Hudson, I have not mentioned those guys all night. Rolf's taking your phone calls, and bringing them out to me. So I'm just meeting these guys tonight for the first time myself. They're cool guys, and they're making the show sound great. So I appreciate those two guys hanging out and giving me a little insight as I sort of, you know, do it for the first time for the great Peter Werby, which is very interesting. Good experience. Having a lot of fun with you guys. Again, 313-298-WRIF. Maurice is out in Detroit. What's up, Maurice? How you doing, man?
How you doing?
Chilling like Dylan, baby.
Now, I really believe Tata knew what was going to happen when Bush got elected. I think they already had a pre-planned on the attack on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Because what the old man did back during the Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think they know. I just knew they thought it was going to happen as far as our economy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, people won't have to get out there in 2008 and whatever damage he do does in his last term is going to have to redo it by electing the right people to make things right.
Mm-hmm. So are you referring, what you're talking about right now is the 9/11 memo that I was talking about a couple of minutes ago?
Right, I think.
Okay.
I don't know, yeah, here comes son, he's going to do the same thing as old man did. So, we know what's happening on there as far as the economy. Hey, this country is broke.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to probably steal money from the Social Security to further his future war probably with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up. Then you got to also look at Korea, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the North Korea problem is something that could be a very scary thing, as is Iran. I mean, certainly... It poses a very scary threat. So, Maurice, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for calling tonight.
You know how you take out North Korea?
Pardon?
Bye.
All right. We lost Maurice, but that's all good. We're moving on to John in Detroit. What's happening, buddy? Welcome to WRIF and Night Call.
Hey, I just wanted to say that all these people talking about the Social Security, there's only one real problem with Social Security, and that's the politicians in Washington have been dipping their hands into it now for at least 20 years now, and writing IOUs, and instead of...
And then writing IOUs on the IOUs.
Yeah. So that's the only real problem with Social Security and why it's not solvent.
I'm really surprised, John, that you're the first one that's brought that up, because I've been waiting for somebody to kind of hit on that. There's been a lot of people putting their hands in that particular funding for a long time. So go ahead, continue.
Yeah, and if they would just stop doing that, they could. That would be one step. Then there's the tax cuts, too. That was totally unnecessary. There would be no need to fix Social Security because there'd be nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because... they're taking the money out to fund God only knows what, and they're not putting it back,
mm-hmm.
and they're borrowing
well, like you said, like you said, they're writing IOUs on the IOUs.
Yeah, and that's what's causing Social Security to be in trouble,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that the rich don't pay into it, but they turn around and they draw on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do pay into it.
Well, not those over that certain cap.
Mm-hmm.
Once they reach that cap, that salary cap,
mm-hmm.
they don't pay into it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then they turn around when they reach the age they file for it.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's dipping into it, but and then they get this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, John. Well, I appreciate it, buddy, and thanks for hanging in there tonight. Hope we talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Have a great night. Yep. Let's go to Rochester, Michigan. How do you say your first name? Is it Leto?
Yeah, it's just my nickname.
All right, cool.
Well,
give me what you got, Lito. Come on.
Who's this?
This is Mike, hosting for Peter Werby this week on Night Call WRIF.
Okay. Yeah, Mike, I just wanted to tell you that basically, you know, this thing has been going on for a while.
We're talking Social Security, correct?
Well, just the whole thing with Social Security. I mean, if you look at the national average of the corporations that make money in the United States, I mean, the most profitable corporation out there is the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, I mean, you have a lot of the entertainment industry. There's a lot of corporate. I believe that the unions and corporate America, the CEOs of companies making millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
do you have your radio? Do you have your radio? I'm sorry to interrupt you, man. Do you have your radio on right now? You might have to turn that down a little bit. We're catching an echo. All right. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, basically what I'm saying, Mike, is that basically I believe that like unions, and also like corporate America folks that are making like in excess of, you know, millions of dollars a year, and making all these cutbacks. I mean, we got to start locally. You know, we start here in Detroit, fix Detroit. The money that's coming in from the lotto, you want to tell me that we can't save jobs? Where's that money going to? I mean, if somebody...
Well, it's supposed to go to education, but it may or may not be going there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I mean, the thing is, so we need to look at the numbers. And, and the thing is, you know, slowly but surely, if this doesn't get fixed, if we told the 500 wealthiest families in America to give away 20 to 30% of their wealth to save the Social Security system, we'd have an ample amount of money to save our system. And this is not a hoax. It's not something that's funny or you can laugh at. This is a serious problem, you know, and it's going to continue.
Right.
And I believe that we definitely, as Americans, need to take some steps to fix it. You know, we can't let the everybody, the richest folks, run America, and then the little people, the common guy like you and me, you know, you could be laid off. I mean, they say the unemployment is 7%. I think it's more, and some people say it's 14%. I think it's more like 30%. It means like 60 to 90 million Americans could be unemployed.
Right.
You know, or 50, and then the 50% of the rest of the people work for the government. So the thing is, it's a big problem, you know, and it's, we need to do something about it. We can't just keep fighting wars overseas and policing the world. You know, we definitely have to regulate ourselves a little bit better. And, you know, it's just not going to get solved until we start doing something more responsible.
All right, cool. Well, yeah. I appreciate your point of view, man. Thanks for hanging out tonight with Night Call on WRAF.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one. Good evening. How you doing? Is this Luther from Troy? This is 101 FM WRAF Night Call. You're with Mike live. Hi.
Hi, Mike. You're doing a great job. Tonight.
Thank you, man. I'm doing my best.
All right. That's the most you can do.
That's
right?
It.
Hey, I wanted to weigh in on the Social Security
sure.
issue a little bit here. One thing that really perplexes me about what's been happening with this administration, just across the board, I'm convinced that you just can't trust these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the situation we have now with the Republican majority in all branches of our government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has got to wake up a lot of people, and organization has to be built from the ground up because they're dragging on us from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that they want to break this. I really do. I heard that W actually ran on a similar platform related to. The saving Social Security back in his failed 78 campaign, I believe, for the House in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Look into that. Check out newamericancentury.org, guys.
All right. Very interesting, and I appreciate your call, man. You have a great night.
Yep.
All right. Let's jump on the Internet. We've got a listener from Southern California. Michelle, are you there? Hello, Michelle. Are you there? Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Mike.
How are you doing tonight?
Thanks for standing in for Peter.
Oh, it's not an easy job, but...
No, it doesn't sound like
you
it.
You know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. You're out in Southern California. What's happening out there in that warm climate?
Exactly. Well,
what's on your mind tonight?
Well, you know, I had to call because I just heard so much about the Social Security reform. And of course, I live in California, so the judgment is that I'm progressive in my thought, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to kind of give some true facts, which I believe is true facts, reading from the Social Security Trust Fund Report 2004.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's why we're here. Go ahead.
Okay, the current system pays out full benefits until 2042.
Mm-hmm.
73% of the current scheduled benefits immediately thereafter, 68% of benefit in 2078, according to a nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. Okay,
gotcha.
I just wanted to, and it goes on. But, you know, and on that line, and maybe it'll change the topic, but on the line of Social Security and all this information that we're hearing, this misinformation,
mm-hmm.
If you were to call up the Social Security's office and get a recording, that recording would be a statement from the administration about how good it is to look into Social Security reform and
mm-hmm.
private accounts. So that is propaganda.
Sure.
Via the Social Security office, which is an independent, that in the sense that you have to remember that this is a plan from the administration.
Mm-hmm.
It is the people that need to make the judgment or their representatives that need to make the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
However, we hear all about where this administration is putting out false facts via their little implants in the media. And it's, you know, when you're paying people to boost your programs, your changing ideas, doesn't that lead some people in the nation to question and want to look into the facts? I guess that's, Mike, that's what's getting me. I'm just, I'm a little dumbfounded in it. I love Detroit, though, and I love the people up there.
Well, I was just going to ask you, you know, it's strange that you'd be in Southern California listening to a talk show in Detroit. Are you just, are you surfing, or do you have some history with this community?
Well, no, I don't have any history there, but I in the sense that I do listen to this radio station via the internet because I listen to, I try to listen to different talk shows throughout the United States to understand, instead of what I'm getting on the TV. I don't watch TV anymore because I want to understand truly where the people are coming from.
Yeah, it's a little saturated via the via the television these days.
Yes, it is, and that's why I get to hear great people from Detroit. I listen to someone in Atlanta, and it's just I suggest it to everyone. But thank you again, Mike.
Thank you, Michelle, for your time, and I do appreciate that. Let's go to Mike. Let's go to Mike in Novi. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, it's you know, I guess I'm not being in my late 40s. I guess I'm not surprised at how some of this stuff comes down on the age side of things. I think a couple of things. We had a call, a couple of callers back that talked about if you can't count on the U.S. economy, what can you count on?
Right.
I think you need to take a close look at what's been happening to the American dollar. It's been sliding dramatically. And these are the kinds of things that people that are looking at the, like you said earlier in the show, a program with the word security in it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that's what concerns a few people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've long been a fan of privatization, and then a thing called Enron and WorldCom came along.
Kind of changed it.
Well, yeah, and it's like, you know, you don't know who's honest and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these CEOs are required to go off and sign all these, you know, these statements that their, you know, all their financials are in their proper order, but do they really know what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it certainly is something that has to be dealt with, but I don't think you can just flippantly sit there and say anymore, well, yeah, the such-and-such economy is going to float this stuff, because we don't know that anymore.
Right, we have no idea. You're absolutely right. And I appreciate it, Mike. You have a great night, and thanks for being a part of the show.
Sure, thank you.
All right, let's go to an internet listener out of Riverside, California. John, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I sure am.
John, thanks for joining us tonight from Riverside, California. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, you know, I was listening into your show, and I you know, the first caller who brought up the thing about Social Security and the IOUs on top of the IOUs.
Right.
He's right on that and everything. However, on the far as the rich not paying in, what they do is the way I understand it to be from listening to Tom Hartman and Randy Rhodes and Mike Malloy is that they pay up to $90,000. Into Social Security, and then after that, they don't pay anything.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a free ride either, but I don't want to say something that I'm not 100% sure about. But
right, that's my understanding on it. They could probably cure almost all of Social Security's ills by just removing that cap entirely, and you basically pay into the system based on your income. What Bush is doing is trying to scam, and he's trying to steal Social Security to give it to his corporate fat cats, and we can't have that.
Well, I appreciate that insight, John, and thank you for listening on the Internet from Riverside, California. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Let's go to Kevin in Southgate. Kevin, how you doing, buddy? Welcome to Night Call on WRIF.
Well, good evening, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well.
It just blows my mind that this president wants to teach us about fiscal responsibility by saying, in the year 2042, Social Security will be paying out more than we're taking in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's he got to say about his administration for the last 5 years? Isn't that a budget deficit?
Yeah.
Think about it. And not only that, this plan really doesn't solve solvency in Social Security. It's just like a little shell game moving things around.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't mind if the younger generation wants to invest, but hey, let's do something radical like people that make $90,000 to $250,000, instead of taxing them at 6.2, let's tax them at 3.1. And people over $250,000, let's charge it or tax them at 1.5.
Interesting.
Because
interesting.
That way, you see, we won't need all this startup money to borrow to cover the deficit that's going to be created when people are putting 4% of their money into a private account instead of paying the people that draw Social Security now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy.
What there'll still be a portion of Social Security that'll be coming down the line in the old traditional way. It'll just be deleted because you'd be putting stuff into a private account. So I don't
know.
It's another
scary thought. Do you think that when it comes time for people to start drawing on these private accounts, that they'll be taxed on that?
You know, that's something that I can't answer. That's an interesting thought. I don't know, even through the little bit of research that I've done on it, that I've come across that issue at all. Maybe somebody can answer it for us, and I appreciate your call.
All right, thanks.
All right, Craig, thank you, buddy. Have a great night. We are that was Kevin. We're heading to Craig in Auburn Hills. Craig, how you doing tonight, buddy? Welcome to Night Call on WRIF.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. Having a good time, learning a whole bunch of stuff tonight. Go ahead and enlighten me.
Well, I don't know if I can enlighten you, but I can give you my opinion.
Yeah, you sure can. That's why we're here.
All right. Me personally, I get sick and tired of people ragging on this administration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think they're doing all right. I mean, we're at war. It sucks. We don't want to see people die. But, you know, it's an imperfect world, and sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's an imperfect world, and we do have enemies out there.
This is very true. This is very true. Well, I appreciate you being a part of the show and sharing your opinion with us. We're going to take a time out, come back, grab some more phone calls. It's Mike McIntyre sitting in for Peter Werby. Peter will be back in the next couple of weeks or so with some fun things to talk about. I do appreciate all you guys calling in tonight. Considering this is the first night I've done this, it's been great having the company and learning and discovering, and that's what the program is all about. We'll come back and we'll do some more discovery together next on 101 FM WRIF and Night Call.
This is the Riffs award-winning Night Call. Listing WRIF.com.
Build it and they will come.
What'd you say there, fella?
Build it and they will come.
Speak up there, bud.
I said build it and they will come.
Well, you're a gall-darned idiot. If you think just because you build a Harley-Davidson dealership, folks will just show up, you gotta give them what they want, for crying out loud. Out in Metro Detroit, this is Biker Bob, and I'm coming to Motown in March to bring you the newest Harley-Davidson experience.
Who's Biker Bob?
Oh my gosh, it's
Biker Bob is coming to Detroit.
My new dealership is focused on one thing. Can do. Smiling faces serving all your Harley-Davidson needs, from sales to rental, service to storage, clothing to chrome. Biker Bob has everything you need to keep you on the open road with the sun kissing on your face and the wind pushing your backside. Biker Bob's is always a fun place to hang out all summer long with good times guaranteed. Listen right here on WRIF for my 60-second late-night radio talk show for advice on your motorcycle questions. We're coming to Detroit March 4th, 2005. If you want more info, you can jump onto that there World Wide Web at www.bikerbobsharley.com.
It's coming to the Novi Expo Center on Saturday, April 2nd, the 4th annual Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by your Detroit Dodge dealers. If you own a company or retail shop, such as a skate shop, men's clothing store, fitness and health, tax service, sporting goods, jewelry store, music and entertainment, furniture, golf, gadgets, or anything that interests men, this is your opportunity to introduce your product or service to thousands of metro area men. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. Many special features and attractions will be announced soon. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. You've got to be there. The Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by Dodge. Grab life by the horns.
This is WRIF.com.
Hello, how are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We had Jamie Kennedy in studio, and he was telling us about his pre-celebrity days in Hollywood waiting tables.
I worked at this place called Veggie Gourmet, and there was these two brothers that owned it, and they were from Brooklyn. They talk like this, you know, how you doing? But they were vegans, but they were like the Sopranos. And it was so weird.
You eat all the soy sauce. You ate all the soy tofu. Who would you eat the tofu for?
So Ron Jeremy would come in, and when he'd come in, they'd go, "Hey, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ron Jeremy." And like they would clap for him. Like there was one person in the room. Like, it goes, "Ron Perlman."
Yeah.
And then they turned to me. They go, "Hey, idiot." They go, "Treat Ron. Give him anything he wants, okay? He's really good people." So a hedgehog comes in. Ron would be on the phone and be like, he's like, "Yeah, hold on a second. Do you have organic apple juice? That's organic, right?" "All right, I'm going to have that." "Yeah, hold on. Okay, wait. What time is the orgy scene?"
Drew and Mike in the morning. Broadcast program. On the Riff.
101.1.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tenney Street Roadhouse, located on West Village Drive in the heart of West Dearborn. Tenney Street Roadhouse features great American food and great American music.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Lunchtime Rocks with the Doc. You pick the Riff Rock. You win the prizes. It's the High Noon All Request Lunch Hour. Weekdays at noon with the Doc of Rock, Doug Podell. Only on 101 WRIF. Detroit's Rock Station.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We took advantage of our time talking to Al Roker from the Today Show to point out Matt Lauer's hair and how horrible it is. I can't look at him. He looks like he looks horrible.
He's freaking everyone out, Al. You guys just don't know it.
Let me just check here. He's on TV. You guys are on radio. Let's see.
Al, we're just talking about his hair. We're not knocking the guy.
You do a focus group on this guy, and you'll find people hate his hair.
They don't hate his hair.
Nobody hates his hair. Yes, they do.
They don't hate his hair.
They do.
I said they don't.
They do.
Don't do infinity.
Infinity plus one.
Triple infinity.
Drew and Mike in the morning. Broadcast program.
On the Riff. 101.1.
Riff. Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Bellacino's Pizza and Grinders with 17 locations. Go to Bellacino's.com to find a Bellacino's near you.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Your chance to take control of the WRIF playlist. With the guy who lost control a long time ago. The Riff's All Request Riff and Rock at 9 o'clock with Meltdown, the big unit. Weekday nights at 9 on 101 WRIF, Detroit's Rock Station.
People in the community that voted the union in, and now that's now basically what they're doing is kicking that scab outfit out of their community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And which sends a signal to, you know, these other companies out there.
Mm-hmm. So you, from what I'm surmising from what you're saying, is that you're in favor of unions being far away from those types of entities then? Am I hearing you correctly?
No, them wanting to vote union in there is great.
Oh, okay.
And if they get it in, that's even better. But if they don't get it in, then that's also seen as a good thing, because then Walmart's out of their community. If they don't want to have a union shop in their community, then they don't need to be there.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Jason. You have a great night. Thanks for being a part of Night Call.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, man. Let's go to Romulus and talk to Kevin. Welcome to WRIF's Night Call. How you doing, buddy?
Good. I just have two quick points to make. One is in terms of the Walmart story.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people are being very hypocritical, mm-hmm. because where is their profit coming from? It comes from people shopping. If you don't go there and you don't give them your dollars, they don't get rich.
Right.
So, you know, it's all the hypocrites who go there and criticize them, but then also shop there. So mm-hmm. the best way to make a change is not to shop there. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't understand that. And another point is, in terms of Social Security, anything in the stock market will not be equal to what Social Security is able to deliver now, because they have a cost of living adjustment that
right.
keeps adjusting in dollars. So the fixed, you don't get what you get now in 2004 would not be the same nominal dollar amount that you would get in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
It would be adjusted upwards, and there is no stock market that could do that.
So you're seeing privatization as a bad thing.
I think it's a terrible thing, because we're reneging on a promise we've made to people. So what happens if for the person who's 54 years old? Is he screwed?
Mm-hmm.
Because the president said 55 and above is fine. So he protects the people who are most likely to vote. I understand the political rationale behind it, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking more in terms of a moral issue. I think it's totally wrong to, because we are going the wrong way. We're a disposable society, and now I guess the old people and people who are getting close to old are disposable too.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Appreciate your participation on the program tonight. Let's go to Bob in Flat Rock. Bob, how you doing? Welcome to Night Call on WRAF.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good, thank you.
The question I was wondering is how the people making over $90,000. I was curious to find out how many of them, what portion of them are actually collecting Social Security.
That's a good question, one that I can't answer, but maybe somebody in the audience happens to know that.
The way I look at it is, if they are collecting, they should be paying all the way up to their, however much they make.
Based on their, yeah, okay. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Well, maybe somebody out there's got the answer for us, and we'll phone that in, and I appreciate your call, Bob. Have a good one.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good night. All right, Bob from Detroit is online on Night Call on WRIF. What's up, Bob?
Hi. Yeah, well, I got two issues I'd like to discuss with you. Just a few quick comments about the Social Security scam that the Gestapo is trying to shove down our throats.
All right.
One thing, these people keep talking about it's their account. My understanding, based on what I've read on the Internet, is that it is not your account.
No, it is not.
It's a pool, and furthermore, you're going to pay lots of transaction fees and maintenance fees from
mm-hmm.
Wall Street, which is why Wall Street wants this
mm-hmm.
sweet deal. This is a sweet deal that he's providing to his supporters for their campaign contributions. And finally, even if you make this higher nominal interest return on average, they've got a formula whereby they take that and they subtract from it the nominal Social Security return. And then there's some formula there whereby the excess goes back into the pool. You don't even get all that money.
Right.
I mean, these people have got to wake up. This guy lied about 9/11. He lied about Iraq. He's lied about everything. Why would these people believe this liar? Now, switching to another area,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to suggest that for those people who voted against Bush, and I count votes for Kerry as votes against Bush, because mm-hmm. Kerry was a poor candidate and a weak candidate and not the right candidate. But,
okay.
But nevertheless, for people who know that Bush-Stapo stole the election, and there's enough information out there now that we can be reasonably certain that using the black box voting machines and other tactics of simply denying people the right to vote, of losing their ballots, and all the other nonsense that's been well documented and is the subject of numerous lawsuits, including Rickle lawsuits. We know he stole it, but we can't be so. I'd like to propose something to encourage people that maybe we can do something to embarrass Bush into resigning. Here's my plan. International petitions. We circulate among ourselves petitions, we the people. We state, for the following reasons, This regime has stolen the election, blah, blah, blah. List them down. If you're really bold, you can state the obvious, too. The regime did 9/11. It didn't allow it to happen. It made it happen. Nevertheless, go on to step two. We therefore ask, and we put in the country, we send this to every country on the planet. We ask your country to rescind your recognition of this regime, to withdraw your ambassadors, to reduce your diplomatic actions down to the bare minimum, to refuse to receive Rice and other members of the Gestapo. We ask foreign peace groups to help us by asking them to pound on their governments to accept our request. I don't think in the history of the United States, I think it's absolutely unprecedented that the United States citizens, I'll call them the patriots, have asked for foreign countries to help them get rid of what we know to be an unjust regime, an illegal regime, a regime that will not be removed by our Congress because much of the Congress is as corrupt as the regime is.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest this as a means for people to be empowered rather than to being resigned to suffering four more years. And I got to warn people, you should do something because, in fact, this may be forever. Because these people organized 9/11, and I'm sure they're working on an even bigger 9/11 event, like 9/11, which will be cause for Bush to declare martial law, suspend much more of the Constitution than the Republicans and some Democrats have already voted to do, and suspend elections. And at that point, it's over.
Okay.
So people should act now.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being part of the show tonight, Bobby. Have yourself a good one, okay?
Okay.
All right. Take care. 101 FM, WRIF, night call happening, 313-298-WRIF. Those of you that are expecting Peter Werby, he'll be out for the next couple of weeks doing some vacationing. And my name is Mike McIntyre. I'll be filling in for Peter, taking your phone calls as we move on right now to Evan. How you doing tonight, Evan? Welcome to the program.
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for asking.
That guy that just called, you know, he's referring to our commander-in-chief as the Gestapo.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's what he said.
Yeah, I think that's just downright dirty, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's sending our troops over there to fight, yes, which I'm for the war.
Are you for the war or are you for the support of the men and women that are over there serving?
I'm for the support of the men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Basically what it is. But I'm not anti-Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I just think that's absolutely ridiculous that somebody would actually say that about somebody that's going against the Taliban and all this that's fighting to protect him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's ridiculous.
Okay, well, I appreciate your call, and you have yourself a good night. Thank you very much, Evan.
Thank you.
All right, let's join John in Detroit. John, how you doing, buddy? Give me some insight on what's on your mind tonight on Night Call here on WRIF.
Hi, thanks. First of all, the Social Security thing. It was made to help stabilize our economy from entering another Great Depression, and it's done a great job over the years. The Republicans say the Democrats don't have a plan for saving it. Well, by golly, it's just, you know, get rid of that tax cut, or at least 1% of the 3% tax cut Bush gave to the ultra-wealthy.
Sure.
And then suddenly there's no problem with Social Security, just like Bill Clinton said, and there's no flip-flopping going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a big thing that they're creating. And it's like, you know, the people who make under $100,000 a year are paying tribute to the people who make over $100,000 a year.
Right.
It's Robin Hood in reverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I can see that analogy.
Well, and not only that, but Bush is like borrowing money. He's not doing any less on spending.
Right.
He borrowed like, what, $1.8 trillion in his 4 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That works out to $1,500 per person per year.
Sure does.
And he gave you a big check for $600 for in 1 year, you know, for a tax cut.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's $900 that he spent.
Yeah.
I mean, if you hired a guy to take care of your finances for your house and he gave you a certified check for $600 and then said, oh, by the way, I put an extra $1,500 on your credit card. You'd go ballistic.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, John. Well, thank you for your insight and being part of the program tonight.
Thanks.
Let's join Joe and Warren. Joe, how you doing tonight, buddy? Welcome to a Night Call on WRIF.
Hey, Mike. First of all, you're doing a halfway decent job being a host.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
Just a little constructive criticism.
Oh, I'll take it. It's the first time I've ever done it.
when you hear an idiot like the guy two callers back saying that Bush caused 9/11 and that he's going to declare martial law, you got to step in and say, listen, are you for real? I mean, this guy's got to move out of his mom's basement. I mean, this is just insane. Now, first of all, let's address some things. Bush didn't steal any election. He won by 4 million votes.
Right.
4 million votes. There aren't 4 million black boxes. People have got to get over this. Second of all, the reason why Bush won the election is because people are getting sick of the liberal left. And the reason that people are getting sick of the little liberal left is because the liberal left is just the stuff that they, the Bruce Springsteen. You know, I used to like Springsteen until he started telling me about politics. I hate when actors and movie stars and people try and call up and act like they're smart about politics when they don't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
The best guy I heard about politics was Brad Pitt. They asked him about it, and he said, man, I don't know nothing about politics. I'm an actor. I mean, seriously. What was Bruce? I mean, tell me what your average actor or musician was before they got in the business. They were waiters.
Yeah, exactly.
They worked at a car wash. There's a problem with Social Security. The reason why they want to cap the growth of Social Security is because guys like me, 43 years old, the benefits that we're going to receive are actually growing at a higher rate than my dad at 73 gets. And that's why they need to cap them, because I'll probably be getting probably a third more than my dad gets. And that's not right. Second of all about Social Security is Bill Clinton, the liberal hero, came out this past week and even said there is a problem with Social Security. Now, what Bush has said is he wants some privatization. 4% isn't bad. But he's saying, hey, let's get together and work on this. He's willing to take every idea that he can. And this just stupidity about Bush causing 9/11. I mean, people better look at the map, and this is my third point, of the Middle East, and better realize that the reason why Iran and everybody and all these terrorists are going crazy is because people want democracy over there. And democracy better win, because if it doesn't, you're going to have Iran, you're going to have Syria, you're going to have Iraq. Then you're really going to have a problem. And then you're going to have an H-bomb going off over here. And I'm sorry, when you got a rabid dog, you don't pet him, you don't be nice to him, you don't talk to him, you shoot him. And it's unfortunate. And, you know, all these peaceniks in the world, they love peace. Everybody loves peace. But they don't look at history. The only time we've ever had history, peace in history, World War II, World War One, the Korean War, and peace in the Southern Korean Peninsula, has been when a lot of people die. Now, it's a sad fact, but it's the truth. And a lot of people usually have to die for something like that to happen, a lot of good people. And these people that are dying aren't dying for anything. I mean, when you've seen that Jamoko in Iraq jumping up and down with his head going back and forth just because he got to vote, it was an amazing experience. And I just, you're doing a good job. Comment on some things. Tell that guy to move out of his mom's basement and to quit watching Star Trek episodes. Hey.
All right.
Good job. I'll see you, bro.
All right, Joe. Appreciate your insight, buddy. Thanks for the criticism. All right. 101 FM, WRIF, night call, 313-298-WRIF, heading into about the last 5-6 minutes of the show. Had some very interesting opinions happening tonight, all kinds of stuff going on, and we've got time for a couple of more calls. We'll go to Jimmy in Garden City. Jimmy, what's up, buddy? Welcome to WRIF.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
What's on your mind tonight, man?
Well, I was just listening to the last caller, and I guess what I really wanted to say was I'm a Bush fan, I'll admit it, and what he said about democracy winning, that's exactly what they don't want there. They don't want our economy, the market economy. They don't want anything like that. They just want to be left alone. And they, I don't know, it's just stupid. I think so. You know, it's really pointless for them not to want a market economy when they have all that oil and junk there.
All right, well, I appreciate your insight on the show. We're going to join Tim over in St. Clair Shores. Tim, how you doing, buddy? Welcome to Night Call on WRIF.
Hi, Mike?
Yes.
Hi, this is Tim.
Hi, Tim. Welcome to the show. Is your radio on? Because you're going to need to turn that down a little bit. We're really getting distorted.
I turned the sound down, but maybe just turn off.
Yeah, that might be better for both of us here.
Okay.
Well,
it's interesting, everything about the Social Security system and so on, but Yeah, like everyone has been saying, it's not, no one really knows the exact numbers and everything, and but it doesn't, yeah, I mean, to put it into the stock market, you know, would make it less volatile, more volatile and less solid, so.
So you're, obviously you're not in fear of privatization of the Social Security system. You'd rather take it the way it's going right now and collect your benefits.
Well, yeah, and, you know, my father, before he died, he told me he was an auditor for Chevrolet, and he said that we've never really been out of debt. We've always had a debt from every war, and so we never really had a surplus. He was an auditor, you know. He said they never really had a surplus.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, we've always owed something. I mean, if you look at all the wars, we still owe on the money from the wars. And some of these wars may have been started by these rich people, you know, the base, because other authors have written books about it out there.
Okay.
Anthony Sutton, who wrote Secrets of the Tomb and a few other books. They talk about that Skull and Bones group that they all belong to, you know, the secret organization.
Sure.
Where they are all interconnected through family, intermarriage, and so on, and that the power base is, you know, funds all this.
Mm-hmm.
And that even Hitler may have been funded by, you know, a big banker group back in New York. Through the Deutsche Bank and through the Bank of Holland.
Okay, Tim. Well, I appreciate your call in and your comments. Thank you for joining the program tonight.
Okay.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
101 FM WRIF night call happening here. We're going to St. Clair Shores with Justin. How you doing, buddy?
Hello.
You with me?
Yeah. Right. What's going on, man?
Nothing, man. Taking your calls tonight. Want to know what's on your mind? Go ahead.
I've been hustling a lot lately.
Say again?
I've been being, keeping my money good.
Yeah.
Staying on time with my rhyme. Keeping my head tight.
Okay, so what does all that have to do with the, with your opinion on the Social Security changes?
Oh, Social Security.
Yeah, is that
man,
some...
That's bullshit.
No, come on, man. That's not necessary. All right, we'll dump this out of here and head off to Detroit. See what you get, man. Somebody's always got to give you a game on your first night trying to sit in for a legend, Peter Werby. He'll be back in just a couple of weeks. I'm Mike McIntyre, by the way. Talking Social Security, talking 9/11, talking all kinds of stuff tonight, getting some interesting points of view. Joe on the phone right now from Detroit. Joe, what's happening, buddy? Welcome to Night Call on WRIF.
Hey, how you doing? I'm just calling about that Social Security thing.
Yeah.
I'm a police officer for the city of Detroit.
Okay.
You wouldn't believe how many people collect Social Security between the age of 18 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
They claim they have a disability, and there is nothing absolutely wrong with them. The government could save the whole system if they would just investigate half the people they give it to. It's a very big disgrace seeing a 21-year-old that you stop on the street that has absolutely nothing wrong with them and says, I have dyslexia, I can't read right. Or
and you
I'd
said,
emotional.
And you said you're a cop for the city of Detroit.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's, I mean, between 18 and 30, you wouldn't believe how many people you stop. Mm-hmm. That's what they get. And it's not a lot of money, you know, $150, $300. But to someone in the inner city that doesn't work, it's a lot of money to them. And then they go out and they get a side hustle job. And, you know, they think it's okay to live that way. And, you know, they never pay into it, never have. But they collect a check every month from the government.
Huh.
And if the federal government just investigate who they give it to, they'd be really shocked about how many people don't deserve it.
All right, Joe. Well, thank you very much. And you be safe out on the streets of Detroit. Thanks for looking out for us.
Hey, no problem, bro.
All right, let's hit Stella from Harrison Township. Stella, how you doing this evening? Welcome to Night Call on WRIF.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing my best.
Well, with all respect to that Detroit cop,
yeah,
it's really hard to get Social Security. My son's on disability, and it took almost a year to get it for him. And so, you know, people expect less and less from this government, and they're putting up with more crap. You know, the government telling us who we can marry, you know, whether or not we should have a baby. But, you know, of course they should take care of the disabled and the elderly. You know, that's the primary responsibility of the government.
And what's your view on privatization?
I think it's wrong. I think it's just going to benefit big business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the government's just trying to wash their hands of their responsibilities. And you know what else pisses me off?
Mm-hmm.
That Gonzalez got in. And I think a lot of this money is going towards the war. And why doesn't the 9/11 Commission, like, nominate someone for the National Intelligence Director?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
President, you know?
That's a very good question, something maybe they could think about. But I do appreciate your call, and thanks for hanging out with the with WRIF and Night Call this evening.
Okay, good night.
All right, thank you very much. I do appreciate that. We're wrapping things up here in the next minute or so. We've got one more call to take, and we're going to go to St. Clair Shores, and we're going to talk to Martin. Martin, good evening. You're our last caller tonight. What's on your mind, buddy?
What is that lady even talking about with having the government's primary responsibility to take care of you?
Mm-hmm.
The government's primary responsibility is not to take care of you. The framers set up our government in the Constitution so that the government could not overrun the people. That is the whole reason why we separated from England. I have no idea why, if she really wants to have the government control her whole life, then she can go live in France. She doesn't need to stay here and try to take our freedoms away.
Mm-hmm.
We fought for this, and she's trying to take it away.
Okay, Martin. Well, I do appreciate your insight, and thanks for being part of the program tonight.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for me. Interesting evening. First time kind of kicking into Peter Werby's turf. Of course, 34 years as an award-winning broadcaster here in Detroit. It's been absolutely a ball. We'll do it again next weekend. Learned a whole lot tonight in terms of trying to get on the air and do some talk radio. So thanks for all your comments, your suggestions. Peter's interviews are coming up next on 101 FM WRIF. This is Night Call. I'm Mike McIntyre. Have a great one, and thanks for giving me a warm welcome tonight. I appreciate that.
This is the Riff award-winning Night Call. WRIF.com.
There are so many choices in mortgages these days. For the first-time homebuyer and even for experienced homeowners looking simply to refinance, searching for a mortgage can be a frustrating and confusing time. Why not let Financial Independence Mortgage make your financing search easier? Financial Independence Mortgage provides you with all the relevant information about mortgages and will find you the perfect mortgage to fit your personal needs. It's as simple as filling out a one-page application, and Financial Independence won't make you wait long for your approval. Typically, you'll get a response within 24 hours. Get a free quote from all of the top lending institutions so you know you have a fair comparison of what's available to you on the market. You simply can't find a better, more thorough, more personalized way to ensure yourself of getting the best mortgage at the best rate possible. Competitive rates, very fast closing times, and Financial Independence Mortgage can handle exactly the type of mortgage to fit your personal needs, whether or not you have some blemishes on your credit. Find out today the difference Financial Independence Mortgage can make for you at 248-594-7582. That's Financial Independence Mortgage at 248-594-7582.
Tired of low-price LASIK ads that promise a great price only to find that it quadruples when you actually go there? Well, you'll never have that experience with Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center. At the Lake Laser Eye Center, there are no gimmicks and no games. Only $9.99 an eye or as low as $33 per month per eye. You know your costs up front with no hidden charges. You receive top personalized service and see Dr. Combati himself at each visit. The Lake Laser Eye Center is not an assembly line designed to get people in and out as quickly as possible. They're committed to you and offer the highest standards of eye care using the state-of-the-art Visix S4 laser with active eye tracking. One visit to Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center and you'll understand why he's one of the most respected and accurate eye surgeons in Michigan. You owe it to yourself to receive the best care for the best price. Appointments are going fast. Call Lake Laser Eye Center today at 1-877-UC-MORE. That's 1-877-UC-MORE. Again, 1-877, the letter U, S-E-E-M-O-R-E. Or visit UCMORE.com. These are your eyes, and this is the care you deserve. You've searched today like every other day for those annoying reading glasses. It's gotten to the point where you just can't see the newspaper without them. Well, now you don't have to search for your glasses anymore due to a new procedure from Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center called Near Vision CK. Near Vision CK is a safe, simple, 5-minute procedure that's usually done on one eye and for just $9.99 or as low as $33 a month. This exciting procedure will finally eliminate your need for reading glasses. Call
Call Dr. Kombasi today at the Lake Laser Eye Center, 1-877-UC-MORE, to set up your free consultation. You'll see Dr. Kombasi himself, and he'll take the time to answer all of your questions and thoroughly explain the Near Vision CK procedure. That number again is 1-877-SEE-MORE. Or you can visit the website, www.useemore.com, for Dr. Kombasi at the Lake Laser Eye Center. And get ready to throw those reading glasses away.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Cafe West, specializing in fresh seafood, saltwater fish, Angus beef, wild game, and poultry, located on West Jefferson and Trenton.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full-price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. The quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Hello, how are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We talk with former Philadelphia Eagle and current Pro Football Hall of Famer Chuck Bednarik, who many consider to be the last true two-way player in NFL history. Oh, God, was this cool.
Here's the thing about being a two-way player. When you play center, you make contact on every single play. When you play linebacker, you make contact on every single play. This so-called guy, you know, what the hell was his name? Thought he was a two-way player.
Oh, Deion Sanders?
Jesus, he couldn't tackle my wife, Emma. I understand they're talking about putting him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
My remark is then, if he gets in, I want to get out of
here. You and Mike in the morning. Broadcast program.
On the Riff. 101-101-WRIF. Riff.
Make your request.
Win cool Riff gear.
And schmooze with the Uber.
It's your all request Riff rock and ride home with Big Daddy Arthur P.
From the Motor City's one and only. Home of rock and roll.
101 WRIF.
Riff.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tudo Ristorante on Erie Street in Windsor. If it's not on the menu, Tudo's chefs will custom make entrees to your liking.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. The quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Hello, how are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We made our annual Super Bowl calls, and to everybody's surprise, came up with ex-line coach and current Eagles offensive coordinator Marty Morningweg.
This is Marty.
Marty, it's Drew and Mike calling WRIF Radio in Detroit.
Uh-oh.
How you doing? Ouch. How you doing?
Well, getting ready for a game.
I know. Yeah. Well, tell us, how much do you not miss Detroit?
Oh, no, I miss Detroit. Hey, to tell you the truth, right down there in Plymouth, we had some great friends, and my wife and kids enjoyed it very much.
Did you want to draft Joey? I mean, there's been so much debate over who wanted him, who didn't want him.
Well, it wasn't my call. I like Joey very much. I didn't have him quite that high. At that point, the roster had been torn down. You know, we were 6-passing that first year with 3 different quarterbacks, and you know, philosophically, I wanted to kind of build a defense, and we just were decimated at the corner spot. So
was Jammer the guy you wanted?
There was one of three situations. You know, it was not my call. The call was made for the future of the franchise.
Drew and Mike in the Morning. Broadcast program.
On the Riff. Riff. 101.1 WRIF. Riff.
All the kinds of things that we hear, and to I think it requires actually a lot of responsibility on the part of individuals to take the time to read the analysis, to read the statements, and look for the facts, and not be sort of swayed by the hyperbole that surrounds all of them, but just, you know, take a look at the numbers because the numbers are out there. You just have to take a little time to look at them.
You know, I agree with you completely, and that's what I always urge people to do. But at some level, that's kind of a shame that we all have to be economists. I suppose, in a way, to take responsibility for our own lives, as sort of the cliche goes, is good and important. But it would be nice if we just knew that we could trust fill in the blank. I trust the Center for Economic and Policy Research. That's why I have you and so many of your guests on. So maybe we ought to dive right into it. The budget just seems, I don't know. I'll let you fill in the adjective. It seems almost kind of crazy.
It is crazy, and unfortunately there's a lot of shenanigans going on in this budget that the president released earlier this week. And the first thing that I want to draw your listeners' attention to is there's a lot of numbers swirling around out there about what the deficits are, what the budget is, and all that, and we're going to talk about that. But all these numbers for this budget that he released do not include two major expenditures. On the one hand, his budget does not include expenditures for this year and future years for the war efforts in Afghanistan and Iraq. And second, the budget figures do not include any estimates of the costs of his Social Security reform plan, which the administration itself estimates could be up to $2 trillion in new debt, which is an eye-popping figure. So it's sort of it seems somewhat disingenuous from the get-go to take what are ostensibly this administration's two top priorities off the table, and both of them are very expensive, and it's unclear how they're going to be financed.
You may have seen today, Heather Boucher, that in the New York Times they reported that the administration's Medicare medicine plan, prescription drug plan, which was to cost $320 billion, has suddenly been up to $420 billion. So where is all this money coming from? They're cutting taxes.
Well, it's all coming from debt. This is what is really quite amazing about the fiscal policy of this administration is that they are committed to continuing to cut taxes. They have more plans to cut for new tax cuts, along with making the previous tax cuts from 2001 through 2003 permanent. So there's a lot of stuff in the budget that makes these tax cuts permanent, and no real sense of how we're going to continue to fund our government. So this is a big question. We're taking out a great deal of debt in order to finance basically tax cuts which go disproportionately to the wealthiest Americans.
Now, I opened the show with these 100-year-old quotes. Another one that when someone would say something that that the person didn't want to answer, they would say, "Well, if you're so smart, how come you're not rich?" And I always kind of turn it on its head and say, "If they're so rich, how come they're not smart?" And in other words, the 1%, the elite, the upper classes, the plutocracy, whatever you want to call them, they've got a lot riding on this as well. They don't want to crash the whole system, and this doesn't seem like it would work. We haven't actually got into the broad outlines of it, other than to say that the budget is unrealistic and doesn't take into account even all the expenses that are going to be needed over the next year. But this doesn't seem to work with those with the most, at least the most amount of money at stake either.
Well, that is an excellent point. One of the things that we've seen over the past few years is that the president's tax cuts did not lead to the kind of job creation that he promised that it would lead to. Now, that, of course, has implications for those particular families that don't have jobs right now that would like to, but it also has implications for businessmen and business people all over the country who want to sell stuff to American consumers, and it's hard to sell stuff to people who are unemployed. So there is, know, the economy is a cycle and everything is linked. So it is true that this budget, which is cutting funding, primarily discretionary domestic funding in a number of programs pretty much across the board, this is going to have an effect on the kinds of after basic expenses income that American families are going to have access to, which will, of course, have an effect on how much stuff we can go out there and buy, how many new camcorders and iPods and all the other things that the business elite would like us to keep purchasing. So there is a connection there, and I think it's important to point that out. You know, one sort of sidebar to all of this is that one of the things that I think I've learned after my years in Washington has been that a budget like this it's not going to get passed, right? There's going to be a lot of back and forth and debate that's going to happen over the next few months, long months for those of us here in Washington, about what will and will not be cut. And this, in many ways, is an ideological document. It's stating that the administration wants more tax cuts for the wealthy, that they want to cut domestic funding for education, gosh, the environment. They want to cut over 23% health, income security, justice, veterans, medical benefits. So they want to cut for all the things that affect most Americans, and that's what they want the world to know, that that's what they want to do. So it may be also them sort of giving that message to the business elite that, yeah, you're right, we don't want to spend money on this, knowing full well that through the process that the budget will go to, a lot of the, hopefully, most likely, a lot of the funding will come back to some of these programs at least.
Heather Boucher, I know part of your concern is the shrinking budgets for work supports, and I'm not even sure that people are completely familiar with that phrase. Maybe you could explain that and how it affects people.
Well, one of the things, two big areas that we're seeing cuts in this year are in Medicaid spending and child care spending. And these are two areas of programs that have become incredibly important, especially over the past few years, as the majority of mothers are in the labor market, the majority of children are in homes where both parents are working. Having access to low-cost child care and having access to health insurance, if you don't get it from your employer, can be critical for helping those parents to stay employed. Child care, the connection is obvious. If you can't find adequate child care for your kids, it can be hard to keep your job. And you do see that research shows that mothers who don't have access to child care are not as likely to be employed and to stay employed. But the same is true for Medicaid and health insurance as well. A parent who can't get employer-provided health insurance for their kids, and it's important to note that 4 out of every 10 Americans under the age of 65 does not have employer-provided health insurance, so that's a lot of Americans, 2 in 5. For those families, if they can't afford health insurance in the private market, Medicaid is their option, and if they can't get that while working and they need to be sort of very, very low income unemployed in order to get it, a lot of parents will end up dropping out of the labor market, especially if their kid has asthma or other health needs where they really do need to have access to health insurance. So when we say work supports, we're talking about the kinds of things that help families to balance their work and family responsibilities in a constructive way. Now, this budget just makes deep cuts in both programs. The cuts to child care spending will mean that upwards of around 300,000 kids will be dropped from receiving child care subsidies. And it's important to note just how underfunded those programs already are. The government itself has estimated that only about 1 in 8 kids who's eligible to receive a child care subsidy actually receives it. So of those 1 in 8 who are actually getting a subsidy, we're going to cut another 300,000 from them if this budget passes as proposed. And then the cuts in Medicaid are even larger. The president's budget is proposing to cut Medicaid by up to about $60 billion over the next 10 years. And to sort of break that down into what it means, that means that about 5 years out from now, sort of based on the kinds of estimates, that would be cutting off of Medicaid over nearly 350,000 seniors, elderly folks, or 1.8 million children. So that's a lot of kids.
It is. You know, what strikes me is there is seemingly in this society a lot of mean-spiritedness. And of course, when Republicans look at cutting poor people off of government subsidies, they think, well, these people don't vote. And when they vote Democratic, so who cares? They're not a constituency we probably even are concerned about. But and there's a lot of people that echo that with screw the poor. You know, they have the opportunity. If they don't, you know, whatever, get a job, all that kind of stuff. Even though, as you indicated, a lot of the women are working. It's just that the wages in this society are so low. But a lot of it is based on you'll have, and I talk to it seems mostly men like this all the time that are working 55 hours a week. To support their family, when after taxes they wind up with maybe $33,000 or $34,000, and they're pretty angry about the sense that how hard they work, they have to work more than 40 hours, and then some of this is going to go to someone else. So there's a real sort of social anger about this.
I think that sentiment really does explain a lot of what we've seen going on in the United States over the past 10 to 20 years in terms of how people are voting and what people think. We have made it very difficult for working families around and below the median, sort of low to moderate income families, to be able to afford basics. We did some estimates a couple of years ago on how much it costs to make ends meet in every community in the country. Just tabulating up how much it would cost to find a decent apartment and to get some health insurance and to pay for food and childcare and all the things that a family needs at just sort of a basic level, no frills, but just something basic. And we calculated that the national median was about $33,000 a year after taxes. So that's
After taxes.
Yeah, so that's a lot of money.
Well, wait a minute. What does that do to the official figures of poverty? Now, what would the Center for Economic and Policy Research give as figures for poverty then? Because people below 33,000 then are in the upper levels of poverty, going downward from that, right?
That is exactly what we say. That number is about twice the poverty threshold. And it's really those families between the poverty threshold, which is, depending on the size of your family, it's somewhere around $15,000 to $16,000 a year in today's dollars. Between that level and where this family budget is, those are the families that don't have access to subsidized childcare. That generally don't have access to Medicaid. That generally don't have access to any housing subsidies, and that are feeling very strapped because they have a lot of expenses and incomes have been, male wages fell, of course, for 20 years between the 70s and the mid-90s, and we haven't seen a lot of growth in take-home income for families relative to what we would like to have seen.
And also the wealth accumulated. I mean, it's not that there hasn't been more wealth produced within the society, hasn't that the overall aggregate wealth of society, it's not like it hasn't expanded considerably over the last generation, right? It's just a matter of who wound up with it.
Exactly. If there's one message that I could leave your listeners with today, it would be that sentiment, that this country is wealthier today than it's ever been. We produce more stuff, our GDP is greater, but the rewards of that increase in growth in our economy have been going disproportionately to the highest income households and to wealth accumulation, while families, from the 80th percentile on down are struggling to afford health insurance and housing and basic goods and necessities. And this budget further moves towards redistributing income away from working families towards the very wealthiest. And these are the folks who've already gained. Productivity, and the president likes to tout how fast productivity has been rising over the past few years, and yet workers have seen very little of it. And again, this budget doesn't give American families any of the gains of economic growth. It really focuses on giving tax cuts to the very wealthiest families. So really redistributing upwards.
Well, that brings us back to, again, to the first part of our interview when I said it just sounds crazy. I mean, if you're already very wealthy, if you're in the top 1% of income or 5% of income even, or even 10%, you really don't need a lot more money. And if you're up in the 5 and 1%, you can't even use any more money. If you're like the Walton kids and you've got billions, it's not like you're going to buy anything more. It's almost like cyber dollars, where you've got people on the other end the bottom 20% and 30% trying to figure out whether they can get dental care or a pair of shoes for their kids. So we're starting. It's starting to look like. Although I know the conservatives ridicule this, and certainly when I go out to upper middle class shopping areas and all that, everything's just bustling, and women have minks and jaguars drive up and all of that. But there's a lot of people in this country hurting that don't have to. And you would think, in order to have a smooth functioning society where people these issues didn't even come up, that the people running things would say, okay, we got so much, we control everything. Why don't we at least share a little? We'll still maintain complete political and economic control, but at least we won't have millions of homeless or millions of people that are at risk from hunger. So, I mean, this is why, and this, as an economist, maybe this isn't even within your purview, but it all looks to me like psychopathology.
Well, I might have to agree with you on that one. It certainly is a budget, this budget that reflects greed rather than the economic well-being of the country as a whole. And it is unclear to me why individuals want to live in a place where so many are struggling so hard, and a very small few have most of the resources. And part of it is that it has economic implications for all of us. When unemployment goes up, we know that crime goes up. When people don't have access to preventative care, they are more likely to contract communicable diseases that I could possibly get when I'm walking down the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the Occupational Safety and Health Administration when their budget is tightened so that they don't have enough inspectors, that means every restaurant that you and I go to is less likely to be complying with people washing their hands, and you're more likely to get sick. I mean, these all affect all of us, and they affect our ability to keep our economy running smoothly. So it does seem both to be a budget that reflects a desire to really redistribute income upwards, but also a lack of comprehension of what a well-functioning overall macro economy looks like, because with so few sort of out of the system, it doesn't do the overall economy any good.
Let's do this in terms of the budget, Heather Boucher, in the 5 minutes or so we have remaining. All this probably needs about 50 minutes, and that's Social Security. I heard two DJs on this station this morning talking about, if they had all this money, they could invest it, and they'd make so much. And I said, and I'm a little older than them, and I said, hey, the deal is when I retire, you're paying for me. That's it. Don't you understand? Their mouths sort of dropped open, and I don't think they did understand it, what I was even talking about. I thought that was pretty obvious. Explain real quickly, if you can. This is what a challenge. Social Security, does it need any tinkering, and is it going flat bust, as George says?
Okay, well, here's a quick analysis of it. The system is solvent. It can pay all of the benefits that are promised, and the benefits that are promised are indexed to what we assume will be wage growth over time. It can pay all of its benefits through the year 2052, and this is estimated by the Congressional Budget Office. This is even though the system will be taking in less than it's giving out. There were tax reforms done in the late 1980s under Alan Greenspan, no less, who chaired the commission who did that, had the system pull in more taxes during the 80s and 90s to create a trust fund to pay out benefits as the baby boomers retired. So we're already paying higher taxes in order to maintain benefits through 2052. That's one issue. The second issue is that the president's privatization scheme puts all of us at risk for having no income in retirement. And the way to think about this, one way to think about this, is to think about your 401k plan and what happened to it between 1999 and 2002. And there's both risk in terms of stock market risk and fluctuations in how much earnings investments have, but also, if you think about the 401k plan that many people have, you put money in, and then when you retire, that money is what you have to live on. And you have to guesstimate about how long you think you're going to live, when you plan on dying, and hopefully that money will last you. Now, for many folks, that may or may not be true. They may not have invested wisely, or it just may be that they live an extra 20 years and their money runs out. The logic behind Social Security was it gives you a guaranteed check for the rest of your life, whether you die at 66 or 100, 12. And without that kind of security, it's going to be incredibly difficult for people to plan and to maintain stable, decent standards of living through retirement.
Well, why does Bush say it's flat bust?
Because he wants to take the money out of the system and give it to other people. I mean, that's the only, I mean, of course, I can't speak to his motivations, but just that's the only logic that I can, I, as an economist, that I can see.
Well, in order to set this up, right, there'd be a real shortfall because you'd start taking money out of the system rather than putting it in. And so you'd have to borrow hundreds of billions. You'd have to pay
$2 trillion.
$2 trillion, okay. you'd have to pay fees to the brokers on Wall Street that are going to manage all this. So would people alive today actually, if this even worked, and it worked like he said it would they be the recipients of it? It doesn't even seem like anybody listening would even be alive, even if you're 14, to actually reap the benefits of this.
I do not think that most people will be able to reap the benefits of it because it's going to be phased in over time. But you're also right to point out that it is highly likely that the system will incur far more fees that will go to Wall Street types and other brokers, which currently we don't have to pay. Currently, the system's admin costs are 0.5% of benefits, 0.5. And the government is estimating that the fees will move up to 5%, right?
Sorry.
So that's a huge increase.
Yeah, and a windfall. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars then in fees. Just in about 60 seconds, are we just all passive spectators to this drama that's going to wind up perhaps bankrupting us or bankrupting the nation?
I certainly hope not. Our website at www.ceper.net has reams of information about Social Security, including sample letters to the editor that folks can slap their names on and send in when they see these numbers being thrown around in the press. But I think it's going to require vigilance on everyone's part to get the numbers right and to look behind the hyperbole that comes from this administration on the Social Security and the budget issues to look out for what is best for all Americans, including ourselves.
Well, thank you, Heather Boucher. Heather Boucher is an economist with the Center for Economic and Policy Research, and I will have a link to their site, the one that Heather just mentioned. You can go to Peter Werbe, that's PeterWerbe.com. Heather Boucher, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Night Call with Peter Werbe on 101.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Built it.
Won't you see their villa?
Build it and they will come.
Speak up there, bud.
I said build it and they will come.
Well, you're a gall-darned idiot. If you think just because you build a Harley-Davidson dealership, folks will just show up, you gotta give them what they want, for crying out loud. Out in Metro Detroit, this is Biker Bob, and I'm coming to Motown in March to bring you the newest Harley-Davidson experience.
Who's Biker Bob?
Oh my gosh, it's
Biker Bob is coming to Detroit.
My new dealership is focused on one thing. Can do. Smiling faces serving all your Harley-Davidson needs, from sales to rentals, service to storage, clothing to chrome. Biker Bob has everything you need to keep you on the open road with the sun kissing on your face and the wind pushing your backside. Biker Bob's is always a fun place to hang out all summer long with good times guaranteed. Listen right here on WRIF for my 60-second late-night radio talk show for advice on your motorcycle questions. We're coming to Detroit March 4th, 2005. If you want more info, you can jump onto that there World Wide Web at www.bikerbobsharley.com.
It's coming to the Novi Expo Center on Saturday, April 2nd, the 4th Annual Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by your Detroit Dodge dealers. If you own a company or retail shop, such as a skate shop, men's clothing store, fitness and health, tax service, sporting goods, jewelry store, music and entertainment, furniture, golf, gadgets, or anything that interests men, this is your opportunity to introduce your product or service to thousands of metro area men. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. Many special features and attractions will be announced soon. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. You've got to be there. The Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by Dodge. Grab life by the horns.
This is WRIF.com.
Hello, how are
are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We had Jamie Kennedy in studio, and he was telling us about his pre-celebrity days in Hollywood waiting tables.
I worked at this place called Veggie Gourmet. There was these two brothers that owned it, and they were from Brooklyn. They talk like this, you know, how you doing? But they were vegans, but they were like the Sopranos. And it was so weird.
You eat all the soy sauce. You eat all the soy tofu. Who would you eat the tofu for?
So Ron Jeremy would come in, and when he'd come in, they'd go, "Hey, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ron Jeremy." And like they would clap for him. Like there was like one person in the room. Like it was Ron Perlman. Yeah.
And then they turned to me. They go, "Hey, idiot." They go, "Treat Ron. Give him anything he wants. Okay? He's really good people."
So a hedgehog comes in. Ron would be on the phone and be like, he's like, "Yeah, hold on a second. Do you have organic apple juice? That's organic, right? All right, I'm going to have that. Yeah, hold on. Okay, what time is the orgy scene?"
Drew and Mike in the morning. Back in the morning. Broadcast program.
On the Riff. 101.1.
Riff.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tenney Street Roadhouse, located on West Village Drive in the heart of West Dearborn. Tenney Street Roadhouse features great American food and great American music.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Lunchtime Rocks with a Doc.
You pick the Riff Rock.
You win the prizes.
It's the High Noon All Request Lunch Hour.
Weekdays at noon with the Doc of Rock, Doug Podell.
Only on 101 WRIF.
Detroit's Rock Rock Station.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We took advantage of our time talking to Al Roker from the Today Show to point out Matt Lauer's hair and how horrible it is. I can't look at him. He looks like horrible.
He's freaking everyone out, Al. You guys just don't know it.
Let me just check here. He's on TV. You guys are on radio. Let's see.
We're just talking about his hair. We're not knocking the guy.
You do a focus group on this guy, and you'll find people hate his hair.
They don't hate his hair.
Yes,
nobody
they do.
Hates, they don't hate his hair.
Yes, they do.
They don't hate his hair.
They do.
I said they don't.
They do.
Don't.
Infinity.
Don't.
Infinity plus one.
Super triple double infinity.
Drew and Mike in the morning. Back in the morning.
Broadcast program. On the Riff.
101.1.
Riff.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Bellacino's Pizza and Grinders with 17 locations. Go to Bellacino's.com to find a Bellacino's near you.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Your chance to take control of the WRIF playlist.
With the guy who lost control a long time ago.
The Riff All Request Rip and Rock at 9 o'clock with Meltdown, the big unit.
Weekday nights at 9
on 101 WRIF,
Detroit's Rock Station.
Rock Station.
Rock Station.
Rock Station.
Rock Station.
Rock Station.
To political issues,
which were very vivid in those times in terms of the mistakes that everybody was making, and including our own nation on a geopolitical level, getting involved in political issues, using force to try to bring resolution to them, which clearly meant that it was going to blow up in our faces. And we find that the same thing is happening today.
Well, Jerry and Sis, as I know that you've told this story any number of times, Sis, as you said, you have a book. Tell us the title. Remind us the title.
Well, the title is Beirut Diary, because as we started over there, Jerry said you really should keep a diary. You might have something to tell your grandchildren. And, of course, I did, and it got increasingly important to get it straight.
Mm-hmm.
Which are the Muslims? Which are the Christians? Which are the Israeli Jews? Why are they all killing each other every day? Why is the battleship New Jersey firing into Lebanon? Did we declare war on Lebanon? What's going on here? And to get to the bottom of it, to understand it, because when Jerry was kidnapped, I had to understand it in order to help him come to freedom.
I know that, Jerry, for instance, you're a full-time volunteer with the Christian Peacemaker team in Hebron in the West Bank, and assist that you're a reservist with the group. But I think people would probably be pretty interested at least to get a shorthand of what happened, the year in captivity, and how you were eventually freed. I wonder if one of you could do that for us.
Well, I'd like to just jump in before we go into the story and say, although I'm a reservist, I'm an educator.
Okay.
I was in the Near East School of Theology. I was going to be an Episcopal priest.
Hmm.
When Jerry was kidnapped, and going through the experience did certainly change a lot of things. Not change, but deepen a lot of things. And my last memory of Lebanon was a little four-year-old boy in short pants with a pacifier in his mouth and an AK-47 rifle across his lap.
Boy.
And he remains in my mind and on my heart and will forever. I have seen his counterpart all over the place, including in America, and come to realize that violence is the number one health problem with children in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to school, changed to education, did a master's and a doctorate at Columbia University. I wanted to learn, how do you teach peacemaking? How do you teach nonviolence? Because, you know, you can know everything there is to know about something and not know how to teach it.
Well, that is a key understanding, and I think most people don't feel it's very possible in a world that's violent, and everyone thinks that the violence is imposed upon them from the outside forces. But before we go too far astray, tell us the story of Jerry's captivity and freedom.
Well, that's really his story.
Okay, Jerry.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Jump into the mic a little closer there and a little direct, more directional, so you're over there.
Well,
go
I was...
There you go.
I was kidnapped on the 7th of March, 1984. I was the first of the so-called forgotten American hostages. And fortunately, because of my wife's efforts, I was able to escape from captivity. The efforts of my wife and a team that she was able to assemble of Arabs, Muslim Christians, and Jews over in the Middle East and here, and one notable Quaker peacemaker by the name of Landrum Bowling, who was important to her as a counselor. And they went back into the lion's den, if you will, into the Middle East, talking, carrying on a dialogue of reconciliation, of people to people, of non-threatening, non-belligerent, non-accusatory, and really saying that a reporter who tells the truth is better on the outside than mm-hmm. on the inside. And they received pledges of help from people in high places, in particular Syria. And I am quite convinced that Syria played a very, very important role in mine being able to escape. Now, I say escape because there's an element of arrangement here, but Hezbollah did not want to let me go. So in some way, Syrians or intermediators made it somebody worthwhile that I found one day that I could be get out of my chain and go over the side and reach freedom. Never would have happened if it hadn't have been for this very, very enlightened approach that my wife took. So, in effect, we're the only joint husband and wife do-it-yourself rescue effort to have succeeded because, and I'll make the long story short, shortly after that, the government, which had not been helpful or even encouraging to CIS and was not really making any tangible efforts to free us from captivity, it was an election year, remember, 1984, the Republican administration did not want to happen to President Reagan that happened to Jimmy Carter with his hostages. So they were pretty quiescent. Shortly after I returned home, Iran-Contra got underway with a vengeance. The kind of reconciliation, dialogue, peaceful-to-peaceful approach was absolutely killed by Oliver North and the administration when they found that it was to their worthwhile to trade arms for hostages, which could then give them money to buy arms for the Contras in South America. A horrible, disgraceful moment in our history, and one that really broke CIS's and my hearts and our little team, because what we were able to bring about, or what CIS was able to bring about, was no longer possible.
My guest in the Peter Werbe Show, Jerry and CIS Levin, and Jerry Levin was just telling the story of how he had been held captive for a year in Lebanon. And what did they want from you? I mean, you were being held hostage until whoever did what?
Well, I think that's at the basic foundation of the scandal itself, because if he ever discussed it, the president would say, and very, very infrequently, that's why they were called forgotten, he would say, we don't know who they are, we don't know what they want, it is mindless, groundless terrorism, underline. And, of course, then they'd take me to the State Department and show me the videotape with Jerry holding up the newspaper of that date and explaining what they wanted. So, you know, that was the first time, I guess.
And they wanted what?
In my southern life, I realized that the government lies to people. The president looks right into the camera and lies. Hmm. They wanted an exchange of prisoners. Oh. They said, we're at war. Your battleship is firing into Lebanon. And in war, you exchange prisoners. They were a bunch of kids, which does not excuse it, but they were a bunch of kids who had relatives being held in Kuwait. And it just didn't suit the government's agenda to discuss that or to tell the American public. And I think what's terribly wrong about that is it's right at the heart of what's going on today. And it means not facing the causes of this terrible situation and dealing with them nonviolently, is possible.
I certainly want to hear that, and I want to bring this up to date. Let me bring it up to date in a way, and this is one of those questions that I certainly know the answer to, because if the two of you are working with the Christian Peacemaker team, when I asked you, do you harbor hatred or resentment for your captors, I suspect the answer is no. Am I correct?
Well, I was very resentful of the means that my captors use to make their political points.
Sure,
that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
But I also understood where they were coming from politically, and there was much to be said for these particular Lebanese wanting a reform of their political system, because at that time, the majority of Lebanese were Muslim or Christian Arabs. I'm sorry, were Muslim or Sunni Arabs, and they were still being dominated politically by a gradually diminishing minority of Christian Arabs.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, if I may, a personal question and also an assumption. From Levin is normally a Jewish name, yet you are now a Christian?
Let me answer that, if I may, because we were laughing earlier about what do you mean Christian? Because certainly in Lebanon, if people would ask me, are you a Christian? And I am, not only a cradle Episcopalian, but I was going to be a priest. You need to define the term today because it goes a wide, wide gamut, and there's much misunderstanding. And certainly in Lebanon, where they were forced to have a Christian for the president by the French mandate,
right,
and where the Christian army went into the camps of Sabra and Shatila and slaughtered women and children, what do you mean Christian? You know,
sure.
So we need to define the term. Jerry had a very interesting experience, which if we have time, I'm sure he'll tell you about. But he came home telling me, I've had a spiritual experience, and I love the Lord in spite of the Christians. Mm. And I thought that was tremendously interesting. Yes, I'm a Christian woman who fell madly in love with a Jew, a Southern woman and a Yankee Jew, and found herself in a Muslim country. And learned and learned and learned again. The family of Abraham is dysfunctioning, and it needs to be healed. It needs to appreciate each other.
The idea, in fact, you're talking about nonviolent solutions to what most people just see as, I'm sure most people would characterize it as, quote, a mess, much like occurred in the unfortunate situation in the former Yugoslavia in the early and mid-1990s. People historically hostile to one another, many of them prone towards violent solutions. And I'm sure many people like myself admire the sense that we could get out of this in a peaceful manner, but realistically probably say, I don't see how. I mean, both sides are armed to the teeth. Both sides have suffered such...
Both sides are not armed to
yeah.
the teeth. Certainly.
Well, the Israelis are armed to the
armed
teeth.
Armed to the teeth.
Yeah,
and we have
with our armaments.
We have a fringe.
Yeah.
A fringe of Palestinians who are armed, but it's like pop guns against cannons. Now, that's
right.
an exaggeration because, of course, they have explosives. But theirs is a very deadly type of low-intensity warfare. But their armaments in no way compared to what Israel has and what the United States keeps helping them to continue to increase and build up.
They have suicide bombers. The Israelis have our tanks and our planes.
Yeah. Now, would you...
In terms
of the effect, if you're dead, you're dead.
I was saying how people view this.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
But again, the amount of firepower the one has is infinitesimal compared to the other. Certainly, we're against violence, and violence clearly. The phase that Israel and the Palestinians find themselves in now, the phase that the United States finds itself in now, retaliatory violence, a cycle of retaliatory violence and purely retaliatory violence, but undergirding that in both cases is an occupation that is violently opposed by people who have found they have no, in many ways, the fringes have no other way to oppose it. Their situation has become so desperate. But you should know that in both cases, now I'm talking about in Iraq at this time, opposing the behemoth United States, and in Israel and Palestine, in both cases in Palestine and in Iraq, the mainstream in Iraq, the mainstream in Palestine, whether one wants to admit it and acknowledge it or not, is basically passive and in terms of violence. They are completely opposed to their occupations, but they do not engage in violence. And they would much prefer to engage in negotiation. In Iraq, we're allowing negotiations, but completely on our terms. So naturally, we're getting some opposition. In Israel, the situation is precisely the same. These days, there is no negotiation, only unilateral decisions. Whatever decisions are making nowadays with respect to the future of Palestine and Israel are being made unilaterally.
Well, I agree with all of that. I also agree that it hinders the situation tremendously to give the American taxpayer-financed armaments to the Israelis. And certainly the direction of George W. Bush has not added to this one little bit.
I would agree with that. And I think more and more attention needs to be paid that a very, very significant, almost, in my opinion, sinister historic corner was turned in the year 2000, or shortly after the election, shortly after the inauguration, when we, as a nation, geopolitically made a shift from essentially collectivity, working collectively with our allies, and trying to dialogue, trying to negotiate our differences with those with whom we don't agree. Generally, that was the thrust that has been since World War II. We took a shift towards unilateralism. That's what our adventure in Iraq has been all about, despite the coattails of the coalition of the willing. And this unilateralism is catching. It's a disease that's catching. And where did it catch on first? It caught on in Israel, where Sharon and Likud, who have always been unilateralists, but had to kind of lay low for quite some time, once the genie of unilateralism was let out of the bottle by the United States, it was also once again let out of the bottle by Likud. And so everything is a matter of being arbitrarily imposed on the Palestinians these days.
Jerry Levin and Sis Levin are my guests on the Peter Werbe Show, and they work with the Christian Peacemaker team in the West Bank in the occupied territories.
Sis's main thrust is she's a reservist, as she said. The organization with which she works collegially is okay. Holy Land Trust.
You mean I shouldn't be reading from this press release? Okay.
Well,
I didn't even know what a reservist was. I thought maybe she was a colonel or something.
It's a very good address, and I think they would cover me if I fell in a ditch. But as I said, I'm an educator.
I did get that. Yeah.
I'm considered an Episcopal missionary. My support comes from the Episcopal Church. And I'm working in the schools in a very, very concentrated way.
The schools where? Here?
Well, I have worked here. When I did my doctorate, I worked here because violence is just epidemic here.
Yeah.
But actually, the model that I want the world to look at is in Bethlehem, where we're working pre-kindergarten all the way to postgraduate at Bethlehem University. You see, the reason for that is that now the world of medicine and science are saying anything less than the systemic approach is just Band-Aids.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work systemically. Systems are changed systemically. So millions of dollars are spent on peace camps here, peace clubs there, character building in the second grade. These things are well-meaning and good. They don't hold up if they're not systems.
How are you perceived, though, by the people in that area where there is, at least on the part of some of the people, an appreciation of those who are violently opposing the occupation?
I just wish you could see it. The great tragedy is that Bethlehem is completely surrounded now by a 29-foot concrete wall, 6 feet thick. So we're in a concrete box. And I'm glad to be telling you the story. It would be even better if you could come and see. These children are magnificent. They know that violence is a trap. They know that the fringe element is driven to suicide, and they try with all their strength to stop that because there is a better way. But it is neither fight nor flight. And certainly not cover up, not this silence. How can you solve a problem you can't talk about? So we talk critically at every age about the future, about the state that we will have for Palestine nonviolently, and maybe a model for the whole world, because it's a rare thing to see an entire system working and planning and dreaming this way.
Sure. Do you ever are you ever subject of any real criticism or opposition saying you're trying to stop our people from confronting the occupiers?
No,
far from it.
That's no,
not.
In fact, they're very, very appreciative. The fact that I did a doctorate in the field and have the material and know how you go at this is appreciated. I'll work myself out of a job because they're so bright.
Our experience both has been it's that the majority of Palestinians are very much trapped by their fringe, the tail wagging the dog. They're against violence. They're against this fringe resistance because they know it's making the situation worse, not better. They're not able to get back down to grass tacks. This is tail wagging the dog, just as the right center to the extreme right in Israel is a tail wagging the dog, because as we know, there are tens of thousands of Israelis on the left and far left who are very much opposed to the violent practices and policies of the occupation that's been carried on for decades and would like to see it end, and often come into the West Bank to stand by their Palestinian colleagues and friends. So that my point is that the mainstreams are against violence.
Well, you know how throughout history that minorities, particularly armed minorities, have the capacity to determine what happens in a particular situation.
Yeah, we have that case here in the United States with a minority president, don't we? And suddenly we've turned rabidly violent. Tail wagging the dog.
Sis, you were talking about working yourself out of a job. Do you have a confidence that this is ever going to occur? I guess I have to say, sitting right here, right now, today, and no matter how much I admire your efforts, no matter how much I philosophically agree, I sometimes think that a situation has been done such damage that sometimes solutions are almost impossible.
I don't know how I could do it if I felt that way. So, of course, I think there is hope. And we are keeping hope alive. But not just that. We are talking critically every day about democracy. What if Palestine were free tomorrow? What kind of democracy do we want to have? And so we're practicing and shaping and being sure the majority of the people understand what their state is going to look like and how to really participate in it. And I must say this, when they look at America, they say, whoops, wait a minute, we don't want to be like that. And everyone loves their homeland, and I do mine. But right now, I know we're taking the wrong track.
We just have about 60 seconds left, a real 60 seconds. When are you going back?
Labor Day.
Labor Day? And you're here on a tour. You've been speaking all around the country. Unfortunately, we're doing this interview after your appearances. But I want to thank you so much.
Don't forget us.
No. I want to thank you so much for being with us. Is there any web presence? I mean, can people go to any website and find you folks?
If they want to receive my reports that I send back from the Middle East called From the Inside Looking Out, send me an email to JLEVIN0320@yahoo.com. JLEVIN0320@yahoo.com.
All right, that's going to be probably tough to get, but what I'm going to do, I'll put that on my website. If people go to peterwerbe.com, PETERWERBE.com, and go up right up the top where it says guests, you'll see the description of our conversation
and
here.
And if you want to know about education for peace, I'll give you that one too.
Okay, thank you so much, Jerry and Sis Levin.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Riffs Night Call. Night Call is a public affairs presentation of 101 WRIF Detroit. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the management or sponsors of WRIF Radio or Greater Media Detroit. Night Call is hosted every Sunday night by Peter Werbe. Now stay tuned for more Riff Rock, coming right up on 101 WRIF Detroit.
Equity Mortgage is saying yes to homeowners.
This is WRIF.com.
There are so many choices in mortgages these days for the first-time homebuyer and even for experienced homeowners looking simply to refinance. Searching for a mortgage can be a frustrating and confusing time. Why not let Financial Independence Mortgage make your financing search easier? Financial Independence Mortgage provides you with all the relevant information about mortgages and will find you the perfect mortgage to fit your personal needs. It's as simple as filling out a one-page application, and Financial Independence won't make you wait long for your approval. Typically, you'll get a response within 24 hours. Get a free quote from all of the top lending institutions so you know you have a fair comparison of what's available to you on the market. You simply can't find a better, more thorough, more personalized way to ensure yourself of getting the best mortgage at the best rate possible. Competitive rates, very fast closing times, and Financial Independence Mortgage can handle exactly the type of mortgage to fit your personal needs, whether or not you have some blemishes on your credit. Find out today the difference Financial Independence Mortgage can make for you at 248-594-7582. That's Financial Independence Mortgage at 248-594-7582.
Tired of low-price LASIK ads that promise a great price only to find that it quadruples when you actually go there? Well, you'll never have that experience with Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center. At the Lake Laser Eye Center, there are no gimmicks and no games. Only $9.99 an eye or as low as $33 per month per eye. You know your costs up front with no hidden charges. You receive top personalized service and see Dr. Combati himself at each visit. The Lake Laser Eye Center is not an assembly line designed to get people in and out as quickly as possible. They're committed to you and offer offer the highest standards of eye care using the state-of-the-art Visix S4 laser with active eye tracking. One visit to Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center and you'll understand why he's one of the most respected and accurate eye surgeons in Michigan. You owe it to yourself to receive the best care for the best price. Appointments are going fast. Call Lake Laser Eye Center today at 1-877-UC-MORE. That's 1-877-UC-MORE. Again, 1-877, the letter U, S-E-E-M-O-R-E. Or visit UCMORE.com. These are your eyes, and this is the care you deserve. You've searched today, like every other day, for those annoying reading glasses. It's gotten to the point where you just can't see the newspaper without them. Well, now you don't have to search for your glasses anymore due to a new procedure from Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center called Near Vision CK. Near Vision CK is a safe, simple, 5-minute procedure that's usually done on one eye and for just $9.99 or as low as $33 a month. This exciting procedure will finally eliminate your need for reading glasses. Call Dr. Combati today at the Lake Laser Eye Center, 1-877-UC-MORE, to set up your free consultation. You'll see Dr. Combati himself, and he'll take the time to answer all of your questions and thoroughly explain the Near Vision CK procedure. That number again is 1-877, the letter U, S-E-E-M-O-R-E. Or you can visit the website, www.useemore.com, for Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center. And get ready to throw those reading glasses away.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Cafe West, specializing in fresh seafood, saltwater fish, Angus beef, wild game, and poultry, located on West Jefferson and Trenton.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We talk with former Philadelphia Eagle and current Pro Football Hall of Famer Chuck Bednarik, who many consider to be the last true two-way player in NFL history. Oh, God, was this cool.
Here's the thing about being a two-way player. When you play center, you make contact on every single play. When you play linebacker, you make contact on every single play. This so-called guy, you know, what the hell was his name? Thought he was a two-way player.
Oh, Deion Sanders?
Jesus, he couldn't tackle my wife, Emma. I understand they're talking about putting him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
My remark is then, if he gets in, I want to get out of
here. Drew and Mike in the Morning. Broadcast program.
On the Riff. Riff. 101-101.
W-R-I-F. Riff.
Riff. Riff. Riff. Riff. Rocks.
Make your request.
Win cool Riff gear.
And schmooze with the vibe.
It's your all request Riff rock and ride home with Big Daddy Arthur P. On the Motor City's one and only. Home of rock and roll. 101 WRIF.
Riff. Riff.
Rocks.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tudo Ristorante on Erie Street in Windsor. If it's not on the menu, Tudo's chefs will custom make entrees to your liking.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Hello.
How are you?
What you missed
from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We made our annual Super Bowl calls, and to everybody's surprise, came up with ex-Lion coach and current Eagles offensive coordinator Marty Morningweg.
This is Marty.
Marty, it's Drew and Mike calling WRIF Radio in Detroit.
Uh-oh.
How you doing?
Ouch.
How you doing?
Well, getting ready for a game.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, how much do you not miss Detroit?
Oh, no, I miss Detroit. Hey, to tell you the truth, right down there in Plymouth, we had some great friends, and